in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it just
the body punching? I was hitting him with body punching. I heard him, actually he was crying in there.
You're saying that Biggs was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen?
And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, but I knew you were talking, you were taking those punches. Making woman gestures like,
Let's go, champ. This is the champ.
It's the champ.
With the face champ.
It's the
Italian Let's go.
BoxingVoice.com.
Like he's a C-plus fighter. I'm a dominant, I'm a dominant fighter.
I'm talking about punching. We're going to punch you for 12 rounds. Either the referee says you had enough, or you can say you had enough, or you can stay after all night until you ain't had enough.
Hey, I feel I'm the best in the sport, and to be the best, you got to beat the best. And all I did was beat opponents. I worked my way from the bottom to the top. I won a title by beating top competition and top fighters. This guy was
a paper champion. Do you feel that you're the best super middleweight right now?
Let's go, champ.
He can bring the pressure. He can box. I'm a true champion. I'm willing to go to his turf in Atlantic City. I'm a stepper. I'm a crusher. Y'all can mark my words here. I'm a crusher. He's a C-plus fighter. I'm an A-plus fighter. Come Saturday night next week. All the fans tune in because I'm a dominant. This guy is flat for these swing wild. I'm not worried about who his trainer is because his trainer can't get in there and fight for him.
BoxingVoice.com.
What up, what up, what up? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside Ringwalk Danny, Daniel Alvarez. What's going on? Buenos dias.
Good morning, good morning.
So, a lot has happened since yesterday, man. 24 hours in boxing is huge, let me tell you.
So is the statue down there in Alabama.
Exactly. That is one of the many things that took place in the past 24 hours. Deontay Wilder, as we reported, was going to have an unveiling of his life-size statue in Tuscaloosa, the city where he was born and raised, man. So that has to be an amazing feeling. We do have some video, obviously, to share with you guys in just a bit. But, you know, I want to talk about the fact that, you know, this very memorable and special moment, right? Because you can see messages from all his friends about how he's receiving his flowers now. Now that he's still here, he's receiving those flowers and people are showing him love and he's receiving this statue while he's alive to see it. So I think all that is what caused the next statement, which is why we're here today, which is Deontay Wilder has come out and said, and I quote, where is this exact quote? I can't end it like this. I must continue my journey. So he will continue to fight. And this comes on, this news comes at a perfect time. Tyson Fury allegedly retires. The WBC is saying that Wilder and I believe Ruiz can have a shot for the vacant title. Wilder's number one in the WBC, so he'll either likely fight someone highly ranked for the vacant title shot. So as fight fans, we get to see a high-level heavyweight fight for a vacant WBC title. I mean, Dillian White is not the interim, but I don't know where they're going to place him. So it could be Wilder, Dillian White. It could end up being Wilder. And
you have the rankings pulled up?
I have the rankings pulled up. Can we screen share? So in the BC, and this was last updated the 17th of May. So it's quite some time now, about 11 days old. But they have Wilder at number one, Joe Joyce, who's here in Vegas training with Ishmael Salas, at number two. Dillian White, they still have him as...
This fight got pushed back to September, I heard.
Ah.
Joe Joyce.
I'm telling you, stuff's starting to shake. Wilder, if he's not done, the BC is now going to move and find out truly is Fury done,
right,
so they can get some money. They're going to... A vacant title shot with PBC and Wilder versus anybody pretty much is a pay-per-view if you do it with Andy, who's number five, you know. Frank Sanchez rumored to have left your boy Eddie Reynoso after the back-to-back losses in the Reynoso camp. He's number four. Joseph Parker, who's in camp to fight Joe Joyce, number three. And number two, Joe Joyce. So they will eliminate themselves.
Did you see that Frank Sanchez has now left?
Wow, his headphones not working? Are your headphones? I literally just said that. I said, your boy, he left your boy Eddie Reynoso, and he's no longer working with them. I said, that's the, like, wow.
Nah,
Danny, sip your coffee, buddy.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear you say that.
Holy shit. Like, no. That was literally the last sentence before you said, hey, did you hear
that? Well, you know
that
what?
That was comical.
I was looking at my phone during the last sentence.
Give me this. This is why an old producer said to get rid of that.
No, that's fine. I was looking at the tweet that I sent to the chat last night stating.
Keep it down.
Yeah.
Let's leave it here for a little while. Let's keep it down for a little while. Pay attention, man.
Damn, I'm over here reading information pertaining to the
show. Look, he got a GPS up there. Where you going? He's looking for Uber Eats on the way. He's tracking
hungry.
His food, this guy.
No, I'm on my meal plan. All
right, so what are you tracking over there?
Nah.
Oh, he sent the Uber. Sent the Uber?
Uber to who?
For the first guest.
Nah.
All right, so anyway, moving back to what we were talking about, let's get to... the video in five. Oh, you're there already. Never mind. Yeah, you're right. So here's the statue.
Count to three, everyone. I'm going to reveal. One, two, three. See you in a minute. Beautiful. Oh, man, beautiful. My favorite. I got to change the hair. My hairstyle different now. But,
So,
on the count of three, everyone.
So, that's cool to see. I think that's awesome.
That's cool to see as you're alive. Like, look at how many people are there. Many different, ethnicities. And races are there, so it's like he said, you know, they're giving him his love now. Let me actually go to his Instagram so you can see it on his and you know his posts, right? So I want to believe it could be this one. Let me see. Yes, you see, he says, "I receive my flowers while I'm well alive." Amen. And that's something that he spoke about throughout his career. So I think this reinvigorated him and maybe, you know, blew new life into his career. I think this is remotivating him, wanting him to come back. And that's where, you know, the quote, you know, that he can't end it like this. He doesn't want to end the journey like this. And I understand it. I mean, he can see how many people showed up. He can see, you know, that his city and state cared enough about him to make this statue and have it right there. This is I'm not sure if this is like the convention center, but it definitely says Tuscaloosa Center. So, you know, you want to, man, kissed it. Okay.
So what does that mean for the heavyweight division if
he
comes back, but Tyson retires? What do they do with the belts? What happens now with
it
the
goes
whole
vacant.
Division?
It goes vacant, and it really doesn't shake up. It shakes up the whole division, but it's not for the whole division. Like, it's just the WBC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whoever's most highly ranked, which, again, I believe it'll end up being Wilder and Andy Ruiz. financially, that's the biggest fight. And Joyce and Parker have a contract. They're out. No one's going to try to negotiate with them. Unless Joyce pulls out, it's a wrap. Because he's the only one that has an argument. If he pulls out of this fight, petitions to the WBC, I'm number two. I want my shot. No way Andy deserves it before me. Maybe he could get it. But even still, Andy was already WBC champ. He gets favor over you. You're just a contender.
Never.
What?
Andy was never WBC champ.
Oh, you're right. That's right. He beat the other guys. Damn.
Everything but.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. But you know what? It's crazy because Suleiman was, you seen him in Mexico. He was there with Suleiman.
Right.
He'll probably still give it to him. Remember that even Andy never won that belt. And look, he's been five ever since he beat AJ. And that's like 4 years ago. Keep it real.
He probably
moved up one slot from six. He's been there for a while without fighting for their belt. Well, okay, but you're right. I'm wrong. Sorry about that. I still believe it'll be the Mexican. Come on, that's a Mexican ascension in body. Even though, for those that don't know, my man Suleiman is what is he? He's like Lebanese.
Who?
Oh my God, you didn't know that? This guy's silly.
What?
You didn't know Mauricio Suleiman and his father are not just full Mexican? No.
But they are Mexican.
Maybe Google it. Maybe. I'm not even sure. Like, honestly, he's like Lebanese or something. Look it up. Look it up.
Get
come on.
Get the fuck out.
Class is in session, man.
No, I think Madison's already on it. Good. Are you already on it, Madison?
Yes, sir.
Where is he, Madison? Ness is always right. Except when I battle CYP. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm still sick.
Yeah, it's funny because CYP in the chat right now, Ness wrong, spins it as right.
What am I wrong about?
I don't know.
I'm right. Don't make me text Mauricio right now.
Figuring it out, but it does say he was born in Mexico City, though. So let me see because it doesn't say on his
website. No, they said Ness telling no. That's crazy. Uh-huh. Yo, I'm about to hit him up right now. Y'all terrible, bro.
I'm like, I don't know, bro. I actually got to meet
y'all gonna make me Google
father.
It myself. That's crazy.
But they look like, you know, older Mexican gentlemen in my family.
Man, you're crazy, bro.
Place of birth, Mexico. Country of origin, Mexico. It doesn't say that he's got he might have a little Lebanese, who knows, but he's definitely Mexican.
Man, that's just saying whatever. He just makes
yo,
it
you
up.
Serious? Okay, yeah. Watch.
What the fuck? You stole his DNA and got a 23 in me? And like, what the fuck? What are we talking about? Yeah, Mauricio's 2% Lebanese, according to Ness.
Is that what you want to see, though? Is Ruiz Wilder? Or?
I would. Yeah, that's the biggest fight to make.
Yeah. We got a $5 super chat real quick from Mike Wilkins.
I can't believe you guys don't notice. I'm going to hit him up now. Yes, sir.
Shout out TVV and my all-time favorite TVV intro. Also, Ringwalk, everyone tell you look like a mini Braun Strowman. Y'all the truth.
Bro, everybody says that.
Braun Strowman?
Yeah, bro.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either, bro.
Maybe.
Type it there because I don't even know how to say that.
You know who that is, Madison? Braun Strowman?
No, I do not.
He was a WWE wrestler, and then he got like kicked back to the indies.
I'm Googling it. Yeah.
He was like a powerlifter. I don't think he looks like him.
You know, put the hat on him. That's hilarious.
So
to get your super chats in, bro, this morning.
Like you're texting him in English. You don't know how to ask him in English. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're texting Mauricio right now.
Yeah, I always text him.
Currently, Ness is texting him right now. We're going to get down to his ethnicity.
Yeah, yeah. Watch. I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you. I'm going to look up Jose.
That's hilarious.
But let's open up these phone lines. Again, we're talking Wilder continuing his journey, which obviously means he will continue to fight. We are obviously guessing that it will end up being an Andy Ruiz fight. I know that is Andy and Luis Ortiz signed? Because I know Andy was going to fight on Triller.
He's definitely fighting, just from the people I know. He's
so that there it is.
In August.
So the winner of Andy Ruiz versus Wilder, you know? The winner of Andy Ruiz versus Luis Ortiz versus Wilder for that belt. That would be definitely worth it.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, guys. I'm texting Mr. Suleiman.
Yeah, man. Hit him
but
up.
But for someone like Wilder, wouldn't he need like a quick tune-up fight, though?
He should get a tune-up fight.
He should, especially after the last...
And especially since Ruiz is busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you definitely need a tune-up fight. And it would be good for Malik Scott, you know, because he gets to show his skills versus, you know, a regular fighter, not a fucking, you know, great... Or, you know, once in a generation, great, you know. I mean, you know, Fury, he did his thing, man. He did his thing, you know, so he's going to be remembered, you know. I'm still not sold that he retires forever. I feel like he could pull a Floyd, take another 18 months off, let Wilder, AJ, Usyk bang it out, and come back and reclaim again or attempt to, because I could see him, right? He's a dude that, A, was brought up on American boxing history, but he's also very prideful, you know, of his own heritage. But I can see him coming back saying, like, oh, I want to beat old George's record. I want to be a champion after 40 years old. You know, big George Foreman did it. I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? I can see him saying that.
It's going to be hard to deny the money, too.
I did a good job.
You translated for him?
But yeah,
no, that's just perfect.
I translated English, bro. Because he's like, here, I don't know how to say it.
I just
it.
Didn't know how to present it. I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to just be like, yo, it's 6 in the morning. Like, Mauricio, are you full Mexican? Like, you know what I'm saying? I wanted him to fucking politically correct, put it out there.
But Madison, like, usually he'll give me the phone, you know, because it'll be Spanish, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, bro, this shit's in English. You want me to translate English? He's like, yeah, I don't know.
Because I only really send them the English shit that I can't say in Spanish. If you see, it's mostly voice messages.
Yeah.
I'm always talking to him in Spanish. So whenever I can't talk, I'm forced to text. And,
ain't
nobody using Google Translate. I was using Google Translate yesterday to book a guest. That shit was... Ridic.
No, yeah, that shit don't work, bro. That shit don't work. Fuck that.
No,
that
it works. If you know Spanish, it works because you see what they did wrong.
Yeah, like you could, you know, pick up, but I'm saying like...
I was trying to say amateurs and they kept saying aficionado. And I'm like, bro, nah, I want amateur.
Right.
Like, how do I spell that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yo.
Let's see.
You're going to look it up? It's probably because,
it's
slang, man. That's what I'm saying. We're not used to proper English. So I'm being told that Chisora versus Kovnacki is July 7th. Is that official? Because I wasn't sure. I kind of seen a Dan Rayfield report where Chris Conley, the manager of Kovnacki, was saying that they had two options, either go the PBC route or go the DAZN route. And you know, obviously Kovnacki has been with PBC for the entire career, but his manager is Keith Conley, who's done a lot of business with DAZN and Top Rank. Don't forget that Keith Conley has had Daniel Jacobs for a very long time, ever since the Showtime deal. He came on and became Jacobs' manager, even while Jacobs had Al as an advisor. And it was really... Conley that brokered that 6-fight HBO last deal. When HBO was leaving, they still gave Daniel Jacobs a deal. And then from there, you know, Conley took him to DAZN. So Conley does have the power to take Kovnacki to DAZN, but there's a sense of loyalty when it comes to Kovnacki and PBC. I want to see, is that official? Do you know?
According 2 days ago on the boxing scene, Chisora signed his portion of the contract.
Yeah, I remember that.
But Kovnacki has not.
And it's funny because boxing is such a drama, a soap opera, right? Like Chisora signed, somebody zoomed in on the contract and found out who he was signing for, and that's how the pressure came out.
Yeah, I remember that's exactly – Damn, that's you over here dying and shit. Get the camera off of him. Damn. No, he didn't. But I remember that's the same thing that happened during the pandemic when Eddie did those fights at the Matchroom headquarters and shit, like in the garden. that they found out Conor Benn's opponent was Adrian Granados because a fan took a picture with Eddie in the train, and Eddie was actually sitting down figuring out opponents. So it had like three fights that were going to take place at the Matchroom headquarters.
Kern ain't doing that again.
You know, so you know, it is what it is, because, you know, if you don't want cameras and you don't want to risk the information being out there, you know, obviously don't have it out there, but.
He said, ponle Vix. Yo, it's so crazy. I put Vix on yesterday. I got tired of being sick. I said, yo, I'm going old school, what my mom used to do. I rubbed Vix on my chest.
Shout out Ramblin' Ralph, who sent that message. Yeah. Ponle Vix. He just called the Mayweather and Don Moore fight out there in Dubai.
Really?
Yeah, he's the official TMT announcer.
Nice.
So he also called the Tenshin and Mayweather in Japan. So shout out to him. I know that he didn't get to call it from the helipad, but he was up there and he actually did announce, even though they weren't there, but just wanted to get that experience. Because
that's dope.
Who the fuck gets to announce on the helicopter pad in Dubai, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Up there in the sky.
Wow.
So shout out to Ramblin' Ralph, man.
Yeah, man.
He's killing it.
Yo, it's funny. Everybody's saying all the, you know, enfermedades. All the sicknesses that I can have, but they haven't said COVID.
Let me ask you something.
Which is crazy. That's so you can see how propaganda is, right? Like, we just stopped. COVID stopped. Soon as Russia and Ukraine started fighting, COVID disappeared.
We got the monkey pox now
nobody's saying I got COVID. I got a common cold. I got the monkey pox. I got, you know, all this weird shit, but you don't even see COVID no more. It's crazy.
Whoever said Amatero.
Amatero.
No, somebody commented in the chat, said Amatero.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong.
Oh,
it's not how you say it.
It's not how you say it.
Ralph, I'll see you tomorrow, bro. I get to Brooklyn.
Oh, my God. Dr. Mofongo, I'm stealing your idea. What if this is the thing? What if AJ says, F it. Usyk, keep them belts. Petitions to the WBC. He and Wilder for the vacant WBC. Finally give us what we wanted.
We've been wanting to see that.
I highly doubt it, though. That's too...
Yes.
That's crazy. Why would you let go of four to fight for one?
Yeah, that's reaching.
Yeah, it is reaching.
So.
Sorry, Dr. Mofongo.
I
tried.
But the most coveted is the WBC, though.
So. You're right.
I mean, you have that strap on you. You're looking good.
And that is the one belt. That is the one belt that AJ has never had.
Mm.
No.
That is the one. He can flip it that way. He can say, yo... I never had that belt. I'm going after that belt. I already had those belts. Because Fury said that before, remember? Fury's like, I already had those belts that AJ had. Like, he wasn't caring.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, it was the WBC that he didn't win in the Klitschko fight. Wilder had it. You know, so that's the one belt AJ's never had either, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. It'd be interesting. Watch Fury come out of retirement, fight the winner.
That's what I said. I think that he could do a Mayweather and come back in 18 months.
You know, like, all right, you guys make it exciting a little bit, make some good fights happen. All right, now, you know, I'll come back.
I got the first super chat of the day from Mike Wilkins, who says, shout out TBV, my all-time favorite TBV intro. Also, Ringwalk, anyone ever tell you you look like a mini Braun Strowman? Laugh out loud. Y'all did. Y'all the truth. Damn, we did. Didn't y'all just talk about that?
Yeah, man. Everybody's saying that.
Mm.
But shout out to you for the
chat. Wants
chat.
Me to bring up a side-by-side of them.
Can you do a side-by-side?
Yeah, I just got to load the photo in. So
yeah, but they only saying that because of the beard, right?
I think so. I think that's what it is.
Bro, because doesn't he have long hair and shit?
His beard is very long. No, he's bald.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, pull up a picture then.
I will. I'll
maybe
pull it up here.
Maybe he shows Danny how to rock the baldness.
Yeah, bro, but I don't know that, you know, him and I are
the same.
Maybe you put a hat on him.
Oh, you already Googled him?
Look like Danny.
Danny Googled him already. I got Oscar with a 199, and he says, they born in Mexico, come from Lebanese. But isn't it Lebanon? Can you say Lebanese?
Yeah, you're Lebanese if you're from Lebanon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and he hasn't answered yet. It's only 6:47 over here. So in Mexico,
no. Mexico City,
it's like 8 o'clock.
It's 8:47.
Yeah,
Central time.
We're golden. And listen, believe me, anyone that gives me their phone number, they quickly find out that I don't even respect time zones. I don't care where you're from. When I need you, I need you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Nev's going to hit you.
I'm going to hit you.
I'm like, bro, you going to call him now?
Yeah, let him wake up to it.
Wait. Now, I'm really going to call him. I'm going to call him twice.
Yeah, wake up to
it,
baby.
All right, I got the side-by-side.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit, Danny.
Maybe if you put a hat on him, he'll look like Danny.
No, I even see it. Like, he's got a lot. Y'all got a lot in common. He's just older than you, obviously.
Was the best one you could find.
Way bigger than mine. Like,
no, like, I see it. Stop leaning the other way because it makes you look like him more. Wow. Look, he caught the COVID. Yo, take your hat off.
Smoking before.
Yeah, no, he smoked with me.
Yeah,
everybody sick. I got everybody sick. My girl's sick. I'm waiting to see how my son's
sick.
Immune. John sick?
John was sick. John is still sick.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why I keep the hat on, bro. Look at this.
You definitely look like him now.
But I ain't got cut in
y'all
2 weeks,
even got
though.
Bushy eyebrows to say.
Yeah, I got
they said, Danny, give us a toothy grin.
A toothy grin. Yo, give him a little toothy.
Good.
Oh wow, that was video gold, not audio gold, video gold. So if you haven't been following us on YouTube, please come to the YouTube channel at this timestamp if you're a podcast listener, and you know, check out the visuals.
People in chat are saying that's Danny's dad.
Wow. We have another $2 super chat. He says, OB says, Wilder should apologize, accusing Fury of cheating. All right. You know, it's hard for people to get over things. I understand that. You know, I'm pretty sure those two men have spoke it out and hugged it out. You know, Fury has tremendous amount of respect for Wilder. He actually believes that Wilder will go on to be a champion again. He's been on record quite a bit saying that. So I'm pretty sure an apology of some sorts was made from Fury or Wilder to Fury after that fight.
What a great trilogy, though.
Absolutely.
Man. I still think Wilder should have got the first win, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I feel like knockdowns are more important than just boxing. I feel like if you could take your man down, like, that should count for something.
It did. He got the 7-8.
He got the draw.
He got the 2 points, bro.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I just did a TikTok on it.
Oh.
Bro, they asked me, like, my favorite knockout, bro. For me, it was a knockout that wasn't, because I swear to God, I thought Wilder killed Fury in that first fight.
Oh,
100%. But isn't it because of that you know, that knockdown is more memorable because Fury got up?
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure. Like,
but,
Undertaker.
Like, I just remember the moment. I remember sitting next to Radio Raheem, and we're elevated, right? So I'm pretty even with the ring, and... Yo, I thought the motherfucker was dead. I'm like, damn, he just killed him.
He opens his eyes and
bro,
just
I'm
gets
like,
right
I
up.
Didn't understand. I'm like, yeah. Wow, I'm standing, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking he's gonna like rise and then just fucking face plant, because I'm thinking he's dead. So I'm thinking he's, you know, like gonna face plant, because I'm thinking he's out of
it.
Yeah,
you didn't think he was gonna get up with that energy.
Hell no.
And be able to be on his feet.
Bro,
too.
He came back one.
He started bouncing around.
He came back one the round.
Yeah,
then, you know.
Boxing.
Well, I don't know about one the round.
He was fighting.
I can see the argument of you know tying the round.
No, I'm saying, like, from that point to the end of the round, he won that part, obviously, the knockdown.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that. But, yeah, man, it was fucking nuts. I thought he killed him.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Don't forget to drop us a 5-star review on iTunes, helping us remain the number one boxing podcast in the world. Your reviews will be read live on the TBV show, so don't forget to drop one.
Subscribe to youtube.com/theboxingvoice for the latest and greatest interviews with your favorite fighters.
Looks like we're at 141,000 314. So we're almost at our next goal of 141,500.
Yeah, I just want to give one of our listeners from New York, Rolando Colon, a huge shout out, bro.
Shout out, Colon.
Bro, he reaches out to me
every day
and told me that he's like, yo, bro, I know you're coming in. You know, we're TBV, a family.
Let's go.
I'll pick you up in the airport.
Let's go.
And I'm like, bro, I'm flying into Newark, and mm-hmm. I'm staying in Brooklyn.
Holy.
He like, damn, what's wrong with you?
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, for one, that was the only flight that I could do the Thursday evening show and still get to Brooklyn in time for the weigh-in. So I just had to do what I had to do.
Are you flying out from Brooklyn at least?
No, I'm flying out of Newark. Because that was the same thing. Like, there was flights early morning out of JFK and LaGuardia, bro, but it was like $150 more. So
is crazy. New York is usually less.
I have a question for you, Danny, since you, I'm assuming...
Not from here. I'm Austin, but not from here. Bro, every single time, I wasn't flying into Newark because you lived in Jersey and I was like going out.
Oh, so you wasn't flying to Newark because we was cool? Yeah, it was because convenient? Because it was cheaper?
Yeah, it was cheaper.
What the? This guy is terrible.
It just happened to
me. He just literally said, I wasn't flying into Newark because I knew you. Like,
No. I'm just saying, like, obviously that was the most convenient and closest airport to Nez. But for me, living in Vegas, that was the cheapest flight every time. Let me tell you. Before the pandemic, I never paid more than 200 round trip for a flight to New York.
That's pretty good.
Never more than 200. It was $199. Austin, I'm sorry, bro. What were you saying?
Oh, you kind of answered my question. Is it cheaper to fly in? So the only time I've ever been to New York, like I said, I've only ever been to like Buffalo and Rochester.
Yeah.
So I flew in upstate. Is it cheaper to fly into Newark? Because I know it's like right across the water from New York City, right? Is
yeah,
it,
I
like,
mean,
like,
for, so
right next to each other.
For me, flying into Newark was always cheaper living in Vegas, and it was always convenient because you get what I'm saying, even if the fight's in Manhattan at the Garden, I can just take the train straight there, and I'm right there. So it was super convenient. This is the first time I've covered a fight at the Barclays, which is in Brooklyn, which is not as convenient, let me tell you. Bro, I looked up. I'm like, that's a $120 Uber. Like, I woke up at the time. I woke up at 3 a.m. I set my alarm, woke up at 3 a.m. to see how much the Uber would be at that time because that's the time I'm landing in New York. I'm like, damn, like, this shit is $120. So I was going to take the train until he reached out to me. And even after I told him it was Newark and everything, he still was like, you know, don't worry about it. I'm not as familiar with the airport, but we'll make it happen. So I'm like, shout out to you, champ. Look, definitely appreciate you.
Now, be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Being a correspondent for us in Las Vegas, you never got this treatment.
Being a correspondent for y'all.
Yeah, in Las when you was just. Ringwalk Danny
behind a camera interviewing fighters in the gym and at the fights. I would get like
they would remember your voice every now and then, right? Because that would happen to me because you're like you're forced because of the manpower, you're forced to be behind your own camera, so you know they don't get to know you and your personality. Now you're on the show daily and you're part of the family.
No, you're absolutely correct, because most people didn't know my face.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people did. A couple of the guys that, you know, we met in L.A. or Dallas or, you know, whatever the case may be, a couple.
It's totally different being on the show, man. It's more of a family on the show.
Absolutely. And then, you know, because we also communicate via the chat,
Discord,
Discord, you name it. So, absolutely. So, you know, I'm grateful because I wasn't paying, bro, I wasn't paying $120 because I'm like.
Nah, but you would have been all right with the train from Newark to Brooklyn and the train is nothing. Especially if you landed in Newark, you could have took the shuttle from Newark straight to Penn Station. I'm talking about from the airport straight to Penn Station, from Penn Station, you know, Journal Square, take your transfer to New York.
You know, out of all the times I've been, to New York, I've never rode the subway, bro. Out of all the times I've been to New York, I've never rode the subway.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was going to be my first time.
Oh, wow.
Because it was always like I only had to go into Manhattan and then I would, you know, what is the New Jersey Transit? I would just do the New Jersey Transit because I'd be staying in Jersey, going into Manhattan. I'd just do the New Jersey Transit. Easy.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to this weekend, bro. I'm looking forward to this
weekend. Nah, I'm sure, especially since you said yesterday it's your first time in the Barclays, and I can't even believe that, bro.
First time.
You should really try to go live from the bowl. I've had good service in Barclays.
Okay. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I had a guy reach, another one of our listeners, reach out, you know, reach out. They were trying to do something after the fight. But I'm like, bro, it's the East Coast. You are never able to do anything after the fight on the East Coast because you're not leaving. For me, it's always been the Garden up to this point. I'm not leaving the Garden or even like when I've been in fights in Miami, like I'm not leaving till 3 a.m, 4 a.m, 5 a.m. Like, what are we going to do? You know,
for sure. For sure. So our first guest is here, Michelle Joy Phelps of Behind the Gloves Ring. What is it? Ringside Podcast. She used to be on. It was for Sky Sports.
I honestly,
yeah, you don't even remember all her accolades. I do. I remember. Let's see if I get it right. Right. So obviously she first started and I believe her background was like modeling and she did like a cover of Maxim modeling. And then, you know, she got into boxing and I believe the first big thing she got was with Sky Sports and Spencer Ferron, and she was on the podcast with them. And from there, I believe the next big thing was she became the host, first female host for the World Boxing Super Series, right?
I remember that.
Yeah,
remember
for the
that.
First one too, the one with Dorcidos and Usyk
in
them.
In Saudi.
So that was a huge one right there. And then I want to say from there she got picked up by DAZN, where her, Raheem, and Coogan were all on DAZN for that for some time. And you know, obviously, you know, I can't remember the other thing. Actually, I do. I was just like, maybe that, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, that's about all the accolades I remember that I can say off top. And obviously the success of her YouTube channel. She's over 250,000 subscribers last time I checked. So definitely Michelle Joy Phelps has been doing her thing in the boxing field. And we're very excited to have her on the show. I'm sure Brandon in Houston has put out a post on our Patreon page. If you want to ask her a question, you can go ahead and do so by signing up to our Patreon page at patreon.com/theboxingvoice. And it'll be about 10 minutes before we get her in here. So we are going to take some phone calls for anybody that does want to voice their opinion on today's topic. Feel free. We're talking Deontay Wilder and the fact that he says, and I quote, "I can't end it like this. I must continue my journey." And this comes off the back of the WBC basically. Did they not order Ruiz versus Wilder?
Maybe
we should Google that.
Let me see.
Maybe we should Google that. Oh, yeah, you got the Google. Good. So other than that, it comes off the back of at least, you know, him receiving the trophy, the statue in his hometown. Can we get a screen share once again for anybody that may not have seen this yesterday in Tuscaloosa? You know, Deontay Wilder was obviously unveiling this life statue of himself that his city, you know, did in honor of him while he's still alive, which is something that he is very proud of. And I think, once again, that is what has given him, I guess, some newfound invigoration to get into this sport, you know, and want to continue, quote unquote, the journey. So we're going to go ahead and take some phone calls. You can take that down, Austin. Looks like on Blog Talk, we got Texas, Class, and Bell. What's going on, brother? Been a minute. How are you?
Yo.
No class inbound. All right. We got Al in the Bay. Al in the Bay. What up?
What's up, yo? What's up? To me, I don't, you know, that's one thing, you know, Curry got, I mean, not Curry. Tyson Water got his flowers, you know, got a statue. You know, I congratulate the man. But once you get stopped twice, I don't think you should be a mandatory for a belt. I think he should go through some fights to get back to that level. I don't think he should just be rewarded for a shot after losing twice. That's just my opinion. I get you, but
who do you see more deserving, right? Like, if people are more deserving, like a Joe Joyce, he is also busy with a fight that he signed to fight with Joe Parker. Do you think Frank Sanchez deserves a title shot vacant? You know, who else? Dillian White, he got knocked out as well. Like, would you rather see Tony Yoka? He lost as well. Like, Odo Avalin is about to fight in Detroit versus my man that did Fed Time. What's his name? Who's on Top Rank? I just posted in the chat yesterday. Rodney, he from like Ohio or something. I'm about to find it.
Rydell Booker.
Yeah. So all I'm saying, I'm going down it. Let me get a screenshot. I'm going down the entire WBC. There is literally no one available. If they decide to, that Fury is really vacating, right? Look, Wilder, the only one said, okay, I'm back on my journey. Joyce Parker, 1-2, they busy with each other. Andy Ruiz, busy with Luis Ortiz, the number 8. Aslan Makhmudov, again, who's going to raise their hand and say, yeah, he deserves a shot over Wilder? Like, yeah, we want him to get a shot. Like, who is this guy? I know this guy. He signed a Tiger Management, the same one as David Lemieux, and with Golden Boy, but like, who is this guy?
Right.
You know what I mean? Dillian White just got knocked out. Luis Ortiz, busy with number 5, Andy Ruiz. Tony Yoka just lost. Odo Avalin fighting a fucking journeyman. Robert Hellenius? Okay, he got 2 good wins over Kovnacki. Maybe he could be in the vacant. Maybe it's time. He fought Dillian White. You know, he fought his way back.
I think you could make something bigger than that.
Who?
For the Wilder?
It ain't going to be Hergovich who just pulled out.
No,
Hergovich pulled out.
Wilder, yeah, I like Wilder, Andy.
But that's what I'm saying. This dude called in to say that Wilder don't deserve no shout-out for 2 back-to-back losses, and I get it. I'm not trying to argue that he does. I'm saying he's still more deserving than anyone else. Like, you know, his losses were to the best man in the division, and everyone else is just like, who? Bacoli? And okay, he beat Yoka. So what? Do we want to see Robert Hellenius versus Martin Bacoli? Because truthfully speaking, on this entire list, those are the only 2 deserving. Why? Hellenius upset, and then he proved it wasn't an upset.
Right.
You know? And Martin Bacoli just beat a red-hot, up-and-coming contender who had a lot of big names on his resume. Gold medalist. So, like, other than that, Frank Sanchez, who he be? Why he deserve it more than Bacoli? Why he deserve it more than Hellenius? You know? Odo Avalin, who'd he be? He do got a win over Jermaine. No. Who'd he just be before this fight with Booker?
Oh, Brazil.
Dominic Brazil.
Brazil.
I don't even know if people going to be like, yeah, Valim deserves a vacant because he beat Brazil 2 years ago.
Frank beat F.A. he was an underdog.
Again, Frank beat a prospect.
Yeah.
Bacoli beat a contender. F.A. was a prospect. Tony Yoka was a contender. It's different. There's a very strong debate that Wilder, even after 2 losses, is still more eligible. I mean, I'm just being serious. Unless Joe Joyce breaks contract and says to the WBC, no, give me a shot.
Right.
But right now he's in contract with the number 3. I can't see anybody else I would rather see and that the networks would rather invest in. I mean, I just don't see it.
people in the chat saying that Parker Joyce is off, not postponed.
Okay, if it's officially off, then that now we're talking. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Hold on, let me.
While you do that, I'm gonna get you another caller.
All right.
Class and Bound, I'm gonna try you again since you're still there. Class and Bound. Maybe he don't know he got his hand raised. C-Dub in Alabama.
Yo, yo, TVV, what's good?
What up, what up, what up?
What up, what up? Smash the like button. You know, Ring, Walt, Ness, DTO. I'm glad you came to me next, man. It was destined for you to ask that question and then come to me. Because, you know, since I became a boxer, a boxing head, boxing fanatic, I watch the UK. I follow the UK. Shout out Smitty. Shout out Sam UK. I've been following them. Frank Warren did a little interview and said Joe Joyce, trainer or some, got a funeral. So the fight is postponed.
Nah, Joe Joyce is here training with Silas.
No, it's so what it is, I looked it up. It is on DAZN's website. They have an article. So what it is Joseph Parker's trainer, Andy Lee, his wife is due to give birth.
Joseph Parker,
yeah. Yes. So his Andy Lee's wife, she's due that week, so they pushed it to September because, you know, they're basically saying that Joseph Parker can't fight without, you know, his trainer, so they pushed it to September.
Right. So yeah, man, Wilder coming back, that's good. Shit, the statue is legendary; it's all deserved. He's sleeping anybody in the WBC, as Ness said. As you can see, there's no other valuable. There's no other person that they're going to promote, no other person that's more deserving. Everybody on there got a loss. Everybody on there. So Wilder versus White, Wilder versus Joe Joyce, Wilder versus Parker, he's going to sleep all over. Let's make it happen. Bomb spot. Smash the light button. It's free.
I appreciate it. And it looks like we are ready for our first guest of the day. Founder of Behind the Gloves, and oh wow, see, I ain't getting dressed up this early in the morning. Shout out to Michelle, because I ain't doing that. I am not doing that.
I don't know what you expect a female to do.
I guess.
What he wants you to do, walk in here looking crazy, Michelle?
No, sweats.
Oh, okay.
Sweats would have been adequate.
I mean, you know, she's got
it's early.
She's got a role to portray, man, and she's got to keep up her
image,
image,
you know, absolutely,
man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
I have my coffee, so I'm fine now.
Okay. Mic, headphones.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
I'm blessed.
How long have you been in town?
Am I supposed to hear you in these?
Yes.
You're not?
Very minimally.
Hello?
Yeah. Now
all right, boom.
Now I hear you.
Excuse me.
How long you been in town?
You live here now.
Yeah. Lived here for a year now.
Mm.
Probably been here like 2 months.
Right.
So you haven't had a full-blown August here?
No.
Okay.
No, I know.
You're avoiding.
Do you try
to avoid it?
Well, no. I mean, just the scheduling.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually whenever I do have time, I'm back in California seeing my family. So I'm not usually home, but I'm trying to make more time for that because it's frustrating not being home enough.
So how accurate was I with your accolades? Did you get to hear me or no? Okay,
no.
So I said you started, obviously, well, we knew that you came in off of doing like a Maxim cover shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe your first boxing big thing was Sky Sports, the Ringside Podcast, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then from there, am I right that the next biggest thing was World Boxing Super Series with the USIC of, you know, you being the main female host for that, correct?
Yeah.
And then from there, DAZN.
I've done bits and bobs for different networks.
Okay.
So
fill us in.
So obviously I've done ESPN, DAZN, what is it, Spike TV, ITV. Just, you know, yeah. I mean, great. I started on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
so I'm always stoked when I can get a network job. I actually, I haven't announced this yet, but I'm actually kind of going into a new sport. I got offered a position. I signed the documents 2 days ago.
Oh.
For a whole new sport.
So what's the sport? Can you announce that?
you're going to laugh because call me very naive. The sport is quite new in the grand scheme of things. It's only been like, I guess, really growing the last 4.5 years, but apparently at the moment it's the highest or the fastest growing sport to date. And it's called cornhole.
Oh, cornhole. Yeah.
So Why am I the only one that doesn't know?
No, the beanbag toss. Yes, the beanbag toss.
We have to go. We have to go do it. Because let me tell you something. I did a charity event and I never threw a beanbag. I've never played cornhole in my life. All right. I can't go in looking stupid. It was like a celebrity matched with a pro. And then it was Chuck Liddell. Greg Gaines, the NFL player, mm-hmm. and Shamar Moore, and then myself. And so I finished third, but hey, I beat Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
He's legend. Like,
that's pretty dope.
Yeah. Hold on. Shamar Moore, the actor?
Yeah.
From Criminal Minds?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How was that?
Yeah, it was cool. It was in his backyard.
Oh, good.
It was a full-blown setup, and it's called SWAT Cornhole. So they have their own, the SWAT cast has their own team.
Cornhole set. Okay.
So I was invited in to do that, and the commissioner and I got to talking about boxing, and he was just like, yeah, you know, a big boxing fan. We're going back and forth, you know, just enjoying myself, having a good time. And next thing I know is I got a phone call from the publicist, Marlon. And he was like, hey, Stacey was really impressed by you, would actually like to offer you a job. And now I'm the sideline reporter for cornhole for CBS and ESPN.
That's amazing.
I've seen it on ESPN before.
I know the one you did was streamed on ESPN, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is it going to allow you to still do boxing?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you said that, I thought you were walking away from boxing.
No, I wanted a break from boxing. And I know most people wouldn't understand. They're like, what do you mean? You have the best job in the world.
Nah.
I'm not saying I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very grateful. I'm very blessed.
I get it.
There's, you know, firsthand, you see right. what's up. It's not just boxing. It's not just traveling. It was micromanaging 5 other people's schedules, travel, all the while still trying to maintain my own, like, you know, doing my own interviews mm-hmm. and getting my own content and still focusing on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even including like being home to see family and
no,
relationships
or
anything.
You become a full-time business.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult. I'm sure you need or have a personal assistant.
I don't.
But you need one, right?
I would love one.
You know, just to answer some of those emails and DMs.
Yeah,
because it gets so difficult. Listen, I got like 5 people running some of my accounts because I just cannot do everything. It's impossible.
Yeah, it is.
So I understand why would you need a break? I understand. It's like Ryan. When people question Ryan Garcia's mental health issues, I don't. I think that following as big as you guys have, you receive the amount of comments I get tenfold. So it's harder to deal with. So I get it, man. And going to a new sport, you're bringing a new audience to mm-hmm. this, you know, venture as well. So that's pretty dope, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it came out of nowhere. I mean, I literally had a laugh because I was like, really?
But look, it came because you knew boxing. Had you not been able to hold that boxing conversation with that man, maybe this doesn't happen. So,
perhaps,
you know.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Because look, like you said, you started on YouTube. So I know there's plenty of people that you've inspired. I've seen plenty of women come after you, you know, and, you know, attempt to do what you're doing. And a lot of them are successful as well. So, you know, just congratulations
Thank
to
you.
You and your movement. So what's next for you other than ESPN, which is probably the pinnacle, right?
Yeah, I've had my ESPN debut over in Ireland. So I was fortunate to do that. I still have like the production sort of package and I have it on my wall. It's like my ESPN debut. So I'm really looking forward to the CBS debut. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Never
been on CBS before.
Oh, wait, cornhole's on CBS?
ESPN and CBS.
Oh, wow. Both.
So I'm on both, yeah.
Damn, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Are those?
No, they're not, which is funny.
Right? I thought they were, you know, you saying you're going to be a mom. I'm thinking, oh, well, the parent sister companies, but they're not. They're competitors.
No, they're not. Yeah.
That's amazing for you.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount of exposure.
Yeah. I also didn't realize how many people watched. I mean, my brother, for example, was like, that's dope. I always watch it when it's on ESPN. I'm like, what? I'm so naive to things, but I had the best time. I love exploring this whole new environment that I'm about to walk into. I literally left the charity event with like my cheeks hurting. I was laughing and smiling so much that it was like, it was just so different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause that's not normal for you.
No.
Right.
What, laughing and smiling?
Right. Cause obviously you're very known for that laugh.
Yeah. That's your signature.
So how much do you think you're going to step away from boxing? Do you think it's still going to be like, obviously the big fights I'm sure you'll be there for and, mm-hmm. and things like that, but mm-hmm. how much are you trying to stay, step back a bit?
I love boxing. I would not be or have done it for 10 years at the capacity that I have done it if I didn't love it. I would have been gone a long time ago
or
venturing off sooner. I think for me, what happened was I was burning the candle at both ends and I lost my passion. And I want to find it again. And I'm hoping stepping back and, you know, sort of switching things up, finding more time for myself, and focusing on other things would help me bring that back. And I think it will happen. I just need to do it for my mental sanity right now. And what I mean by that is it's not boxing. It's the travel. It's the constant, like when I go over for England, I'm away sometimes 4 to 6 weeks at a time. And you're talking about living out of a suitcase, going from city to city, town to town in a different country and different foods, different environments, different time zones. It does add
take
up.
A toll.
Some
take
people,
a toll.
They're only flying 3 hours away or three-hour time zone difference, and mm-hmm. they're dead at the end of the week. So I don't know how I managed to do it as long as I have, to be honest.
Hustler.
Many people didn't know this, but I was in a very dark place about 4 or 5 months ago. Very dark. Like, when I'm on, I switched on. When I was at work, I was smiling and laughing and doing what I had to do. But the moment I went back, it was like, it almost, I know this sounds weird because it's like I'm saying I need a break, but at the same time, it sort of saved me being as busy as I was, because the moment that I sat still, I felt like I was around recognizing everything I was lacking because I was always so busy. So when I sat still, I was like, I miss my family. I'm lonely. Like the one word I could pretty much describe always was lonely. I was lonely. I wasn't depressed. I was lonely.
Mm.
And I don't think people quite understand that. It's a very, you get it. Like you go to these events and you know, you work all day, and it could be a bit isolating at times too, especially when you're traveling alone and you're in your hotel room.
If you're a hustler, because you don't socialize. You're busy
yeah.
doing the interview, uploading the interview, delegating different things. Oh, I got to do a social media post. Wait, we didn't take a picture for the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Like, your mind doesn't stop working. People never understand that, you
yeah.
know. But, you know, at least you're dealing with some content creators, so we understand where
yeah.
you're coming from.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just had to find that balance. And I just remember, my sister calling me, and maybe people aren't really going to relate to this if they're not spiritual, but my sister is very spiritual. I'm very spiritual. And she kept calling me, and it's weird because my sister and I, we talk, but we don't like talk all the time on the phone or anything like that. And so I thought it to be a bit strange. I was like, she keeps calling me, but I kept missing her calls. And eventually she's like, look, I can't reach you. So she wrote out this long text and she said, I have been so emotional the last week. And when I'm praying, God keeps telling me that your sister's lonely.
Mm.
And it was almost like I was feeling your emotions. And I like literally my heart dropped the moment I read that message, because the word I kept using was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know that. I didn't tell her that. I didn't express that to many people. I just sort of keep it to myself. But it was like she needed to talk to me. When she did, she's like, I just want you to know like that, you know, you're loved and you're this and that, and you know, your family supports you and we're happy for you. But if you're not happy, you need to do something about it. And I knew the only way that anything was going to change is if I changed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty much the basic principle, right? Like if you expect change, you got to change something. And so I had to decide for myself, okay, I need to step back just a bit to reevaluate what it is that I really want in the long run, because running a YouTube account, successful or not, you're still dealing with the ins and outs. You guys know firsthand how YouTube works. 1 minute, your CPM rates are through the roof. The next minute, it's not. You can mm-hmm. have a video do 100,000 views and you made $100. You can have a video do 30,000 views and you made $500. You just don't understand. It's right. not like a set system.
Yep.
So it wasn't like every single month I was like, this is, I know what I'm making because these views are rolling in. It meant nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the constant pressures of having
very volatile.
Yeah. It's the constant pressure of trying to keep the content going, keep the business going, keep the sponsors happy, do all of these things. And it was just like, it got to be a bit overwhelming. And that's why I was like, okay, you know, I need to hire someone to sort of run the day-to-day stuff with the other correspondents and just let me focus on what I enjoyed doing initially, which was creating the content and mm-hmm. getting the interviews and doing those. But I wasn't able to do that anymore because I was spreading myself way too thin. So... Sorry, that was a really long
time. No, that divine energy is special. That's yeah. a crazy story.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I try to listen to it now.
How are you doing now?
I'm really good.
You know, I'm glad you took it, because I feel like it's something that came out of nowhere,
yeah.
right? And I kind of felt like that with this. I'm like, you know, there's a reason that it happened. So I feel like there's a reason you got that opportunity.
Well, it's funny, because had I not made that decision to sort of step aside or just take a break for a moment, and the opportunity did come, I wouldn't have taken it, because
yeah.
I would have been in a completely different mental space. I would have been thinking about, oh, no, I can't do that because I wouldn't have time because of this, this, and this. But because I had already sort of aligned everything and started figuring other things out to make it possible for me to have more time, that's the reason I'm able to go, yeah, I mean, I can do that. And it's not full time. I mean, it's one or two events a month. It's amazing. So it still gives me a lot of flexibility.
Okay.
And is it in a set location or?
No.
That was, okay.
So the first one is July 1st through 4th, and we're in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Danny's
yeah.
from Chicago.
Danny's hometown.
Yeah, we're in Chicago. And then it's August, I think, 4th through 7th. And that one is South Carolina, which I'm excited to go to.
Oh, wow.
I've never been to South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach?
Never?
Never.
Wow.
I've never been there. And I heard it's so beautiful.
Where are you originally from?
I'm from Temecula.
That's California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered IE?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although Temecula actually borders San Diego.
Yeah.
So it's
right.
like some of Temecula is actually San Diego County, and some of it is
LA County.
Inland Valley.
Oh, Inland Valley. Okay.
Mm. For the Inland Empire.
Yeah. IE. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's
interesting.
I know they've done a lot of shows out there. What, there's a casino out
yeah,
there?
Yeah, Pechanga.
Oh, yeah, the Golden Boy uses that a lot.
Yeah, I know that Showbox has done cards from there as well. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how was that like going from California to, I know you lived in Hawaii for a little bit as well.
Wow.
Yeah, as a kid, I lived in Hawaii for 3 years.
And then, but just, you were in the UK, what, three?
3.5 years.
3.5 years.
What? I would have stayed if the pandemic didn't happen. I
because they went into lockdown.
Like, I was paying rent for 6 months and hadn't been home.
Yeah.
I was like, you're going to have to figure this out. Because we didn't know what was going to happen. So it was sort of like, do I keep paying, like, basically like a storage unit?
Yeah.
Or do I just leave? And so I actually left all my furniture there.
Oh.
Kid you not, it was in the unit. I said I parted with it. What could I do? I had to have someone go into the unit,
yeah, and you can't
pack
fly
all my
it
clothes.
Over here,
no,
anyway.
I couldn't. Could pack my clothes, put everything to a storage unit that we could take. And it was literally my friend Sarah who did everything for me. God bless her.
Hmm.
All my furniture, everything stayed.
Wow.
I don't know what the owner did with it, but.
He sold it. Or kept it. One of the two.
Yeah.
Wow. So what would you say got you into your boxing journey? Because mm-hmm. we're talking journeys in boxing since Deontay Wilder came out yesterday. And, you know, he said he can't end it like this.
Yeah.
And
which I'm happy to hear, by the way.
Exactly. He says that I must continue my journey. So what got you started into your boxing journey? Like, you were modeling. Why boxing?
Well, I mean, let's keep it 100. Modeling don't pay the bills. It might pay some, but it doesn't pay them all. I mean, look, I'm very transparent, very honest about, like, you know, when I was, what I was trying to do was be a TV host, like an entertainment host. That was my true dream. I would go on auditions. So basically I was a waitress and bartender, just to have the flexibility, put myself through school, as a massage therapist. So I had that flexibility. I then went on to work for Equinox. I'm not sure if you are familiar with the gym.
Yeah, I love that
gym. Yeah, I worked
nice.
In the West LA one, the big one.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's
the
good
fancy,
one. I've been, yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the high-end gym.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went on to work there. It gave me the flexibility to continue to do what I needed to do, which was auditions and whatnot. And so, yeah, I was doing like catalog work, small-time stuff. Could never quite break it, but it's interesting because it prepared me for what I was about to get into. And it's funny because you have to have thick skin in the entertainment industry. I mean, you're literally told, and I was 120 pounds at the time. I was literally 30 pounds less than what I am now. Okay. I was like this thin and I was still too big.
Wow.
So it was, the pressures was always, it was always there. Like it was never good enough. And so I was used to hearing that I was never good enough. So when I came on the boxing scene and there seemed to be like a lot of resistance with me initially, I don't think people quite understood like why I was there. I had that mentality of like, I'm used to people rejecting me. I'm used to people not accepting me.
But who got you to like, how did you know, like, I'm going to grab this camera.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up at this press conference. Like what got you into the sport?
Initially it was just creating videos of myself. I had like that Sony bloggy. I don't know if you remember what it looked like, but I had like that little flip cam. And I didn't even have a tripod or anything. I literally just put the bloggy up with a piece of tape over it. So it was eye level. And I would just talk about the fights that were happening that night, like the results. They're not up anymore. But
they're like quality
stays. I had to take those down.
Do you remember your
first
fight?
They're archived.
Do you remember that one of the first fights that you started?
When I was blogging
about it,
the first one was Pacquiao and Bradley.
Oh wow,
the first one.
Wow,
I've actually seen that video. Let me tell you.
Did you?
Yeah.
You
showed it to me.
So I believe the first time I ever seen you was in Gleason's in New York City.
Yeah.
And you were with Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you connect with him?
So I saw him. I'm really trying to remember. I think it was Provodnikov press conference.
Bradley?
I'm trying to remember. I just remember it was a Top Rank event and we were in the hotel lobby and Marcos was sat there. And then I was sat there with my friend. And he was like, "Hey, my name's Marcos." I'm like, "Oh, I'm Michelle." And that's literally the first person I met in boxing.
Uh-huh. It's funny. With me, Sean Zatel, who used to work for Ness, I was always a fan. But I would see Sean. I would go to gyms and I would go to anything that was open to the public, and I would always see him. So I got to know him a little bit, and I was gonna start my own YouTube channel that I have the logo on my desktop to this day.
Great.
And I was going to start it. And I'm asking him questions and he's like, "Hey, I just left the Boxing Voice. I'm with Fight Hype now. Reach out to Ness." And I get back from Afghanistan and Ness just happens to be in Vegas that weekend, not for a fight, just happens to be in Vegas on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Hey, you down to meet up? I know you're here like on vacation." And he was like, "Sure." We had a conversation and literally right there on the spot, he applied for my first credential. No experience, but just based off that conversation.
Yeah.
So, but
that works though. I had no experience. I mean, aside from, going to auditions, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I mean, I loved watching boxing, but I didn't know how to do an interview. I didn't really think about all that. Like it's a learning curve, isn't it?
It definitely is a learning curve. And I feel like I've been learning as I go, and I'm, every day is a learning process for me. But, it's just really weird because people
I feel like it's literally how boxing works. You know, different trainers have different styles. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've been able to learn from you. I've been able to learn from Ness. I've been able to learn from so many different people that some don't even cover boxing. You know, there's certain TV, you know, sport analysts that I, you know, look up to that don't even cover boxing. But
mm-hmm.
it's definitely a process. That's
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Did you ever get an agent? Because I know there's a couple people never got an agent. Like,
no.
in the boxing world, no?
No, everything I've ever booked, I've booked on my own.
Wow. Amazing.
That's crazy, because I know some people do get agents.
Yeah, I mean, Akin Barak, they came into it with agents.
You know, and obviously it's worked out for them, but...
Definitely.
You know, I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some questions from the people. Rue in the 504 New Orleans says, what's been the most challenging thing about covering boxing?
Now, I guess, or just overall?
Overall.
Mm-hmm. Probably the travel part, honestly. Because I don't really, it's interesting. I've grown so much. I really don't. Can I
of course,
cuss?
Yes.
Can I cuss?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Say it.
I was about to say, I really don't give a fuck what anyone thinks anymore.
Yeah.
So I used to be so challenged by that. And now I'm just sort of like, just do whatever I do. And so the biggest challenge used to be what people thought of me.
Mm.
And that I don't care anymore.
Well, travel's tough. Like we were just talking about Danny. So you're doing two shows today.
Two shows
then
today.
Then you fly out tonight for the Brooklyn, for the Rolly fight.
Yeah, I have a red eye tonight.
To Newark. And then he has to get from Newark to New York. So
to
it's
Brooklyn.
Like,
but he's younger than you, so he still loves it, right? Because I'm like, Danny, why?
True.
And he's like, no, man, I got to go to the, like, he was just in Houston. Like, I've been stopped flying, if it's not a big fight and I don't have a relationship with that, I'm not coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I'd rather be home.
And then,
Travel's tough.
I know you said for you too, it was like an access thing. And I know Rob and a lot of the UK guys are like, yo, out there, we get escorted back to the locker rooms and we're allowed to do
mm-hmm.
like one-on-one locker room interviews. I know you said before it was a lot easier. Now it's like the access is a lot more.
Well, I mean, it's been 10 years. Like she said, it's been 10 years since we've been doing this. So like the amount of people that have watched people like her and myself get to this level, it's inspired hundreds of YouTube channels. So now it's like a million of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go. That they treat you like paparazzi. Everybody's with cameras. You're fighting over the same interview. Oh, that's my interview. I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. I do not have the time. It's not worth it for me. So, you know, even with Canelo, it's like, what am I going to do? Get in line with 50 other people and
mm-hmm.
hover over their heads mm-hmm. and have – I got someone's tripod in my shot.
I was
shot.
Just doing that for the Benavidez.
Bro,
it's
disgusting. It's
then, hard.
Then you get a Kanye-like fighter that turns around and is like, Jamal Charlo's your camera. And it's like, damn, I didn't, you know, all I'm just trying to do. Like, that guy that got his camera smacked, like, I don't know what he got it smacked for, but, like, I'm sure he didn't know where to put his head after that moment. You know what I'm saying?
What happened? I don't even know.
Charlo smacked someone's camera and called them a dickhead and all this type
of shit. After the Jermell and Castaño fight at the press conference, Australian reporter brings up Tim Zhu, and, you know, obviously they're like, basically, I'm undisputed, I'm the best in the world, it's my moment. And he kept, like, bringing up Tim Zhu. Well, Tim Zhu said this, you know, Tim Zhu was at the fight. You know,
which is his job.
And so
and let's not forget, it's a journalist's job to provoke as well, to probe, you know. You don't have to want to hear about Tim Zhu, but he's next. He's the mandatory, and this is my job. Now I can't ask you these questions because I have to worry about my camera being smacked, if not me, because he literally threatened him, said, I should fuck you up or some shit like that. You got that actually is on his channel. I'm going to find it right now. It's insane. So it's like, why go? Why go if this is the treatment you're getting just because you're giving them a tough question that is within reason?
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah, I feel like now, and I mean, obviously, Michelle, you've been around a lot longer, but now I think slowly because I've built the relationship. So now it's like with certain people, you know, with certain people and with certain people, they call you dick riders. So, so you know.
Yeah, you can't be. If you have a relationship with Fury, hypothetically, yeah. you're not cool with Wilder. Yeah. If you're cool with Wilder, Fury's team doesn't like you. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, it really has been challenging to find that
happy medium.
Yeah, the happy medium, because you know, I don't give predictions. I don't go into anyone's camp talking about the next person. That's why I feel like over the years I've been able to sort of develop that trust, because I'm not in there going, yo, I was just in so-and-so's camp, you know, and this and that. Because they know if I'm doing that with them, I could be doing that, you know, mm-hmm. with the next person.
Right,
so
absolutely.
I've always done my best. I prided myself on the fact that I wish everyone well. I wish them safety. But at the same time, I myself have experienced that where I almost feel like people don't want to talk to me anymore mm-hmm. because they felt like, oh, you were doing all them interviews with Fury.
Yep.
And it was like, well,
I'm supposed to.
No, hold on. But we're talking about access here.
Right.
When you're getting the access, if you're being asked to do the interview, you're okayed to go in and do the interview. Why would I not? Why would I go?
Let me check in with Deontay Wilder real quick.
Let me go check with so-and-so just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't come off like I'm being too one-sided. Like, I'm going to go where the access is. That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always done my best. Like, even when someone loses, I'll reach out to them and wish them well. And that's why, like, even when Dillian White said during the interview, our most recent interview, at the very end, he's like, you know, thank you for always being there. Because even when he had stuff going on, you know, I would just message him and just wish him, you know, positive vibes. I mean, I don't have a solution or answer to everyone's current situation,
right.
But the least you could do is be, you know, considerate. And so I do try to do that because I'm genuinely not on anyone's side. I really wish everyone well. I respect anyone who enters the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing you will never catch me, you know, talking smack on no one. And that's what I was saying, even with Deontay, I'm happy to see that he's back. It'd be so unfortunate if we did see him walk away in that capacity.
Yeah, no. And I mean, what's probably out there for him, you know, a fight with he and Andy, that's something that the world would want to see.
Yeah.
And it's a big fight.
Even the one with Joshua still, like, come
absolutely.
On.
Yes.
Man, I remember going through all the emotions. You were there. You.
Yes.
I almost shed a tear when that fight didn't happen.
Yeah.
I was so mad. I was like, damn. So that's still there. Look, I don't know where we got off believing that a loss defines your entire career.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I feel like, and let me tell you, it's like to one guy, you know, everybody
yeah.
else is being annihilated, you know, but it's unfortunate because, you know, right next to our building, we have the UFC. So many champions take losses and they're still as relevant as they were before. Mm-hmm. They're still in the mix. They're still getting competitive big fights. Mm-hmm.
But
so,
in boxing, it's so different.
Let me get this screen share here to show you. This is the...
This was after the questions had been asked.
Knock his ass out. I'm a lying looking ass nigga.
So he calling the reporter Macaulay Culkin. Now he calls him a bitch and smacks the camera. Look, and then threatens him, says, shut up or I smack your stupid ass. He's crazy.
Well, when you're a professional athlete, you got to be careful because
it's a lawsuit.
It's a lawsuit.
It's a lawsuit. That's what I said from day one.
A tiny smack can make you pay out $1 million
mm-hmm.
because it's assault. You just don't put hands.
But look at look at what Benavidez says. Okay. From his verified Instagram, laugh out loud. Why didn't he do that to me? With the laugh out loud emoji.
I never saw that before.
And obviously he's referring to the run-in they had at the Errol Spence Ugas fight in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the chat saying that too. Why didn't he do that to David?
Well, David is asking why he didn't do that to him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't see
that. What fight are you most excited to see that's coming up?
That's already been announced, or one that I want to see?
One that's already been, well, both. How about that? One that's already been announced.
I mean, I think everybody wants to see Errol Spence Jr. versus Terrence Crawford.
Yes.
I mean, that's the fight I really want to see. again, another undisputed opportunity. I mean, isn't it great that we're seeing more of that?
Absolutely.
I mean, it just seems like it's been all at once, right?
Absolutely. Speaking of, you know, next weekend we get to see it in the lightweight division.
You're not going to Australia?
No.
Yeah. Did you consider it? No.
For my own reasons, and I don't want to get onto it because, you know, people are always like, always got something to say.
Yeah, I
And it's not about the fight. It was in the restrictions.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there.
Okay. Yep. So obviously I was good there, but you know, I was denied entry.
Really?
I was denied entry into the
country. Wasn't Bill was denied entry too?
Bill has not. Bill has not fully been denied, but similar thing. I had a because I have a record. I've been I have one arrest, and yeah, so they denied me. They denied me. I disputed it. I had a character evaluation. They called it. I submitted because the arrest was during my.
You should have got one of your lieutenants or something to write you a letter.
So that was the thing. So my arrest was during my time in the military. So I submitted my discharge paperwork years later, honorable discharge, my accolades. You know, everything was listed on my discharge paperwork, and yeah, no go. So they told me, because they asked me why I was going and whatnot, and I told them. They're like, well, why didn't you apply for a work visa? I said, because your work visa takes 3 months. Like, no fight is being announced.
Yeah.
Canelo Triple G, maybe? Like, but it's rare, you know, 3 months, get the fuck out of here. And I still have to wait for you to approve me to book travel now? Like, you know, impossible. So they told me that I can start the process for a work visa. And, you know, now they've given me contacts. And they said for a work visa that, you know, they could make an exception, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. So, yeah, I was denied. I was denied.
Meanwhile, he lost his $350 application fee.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was denied entry. So, yeah, I was.
Has it always been this way?
Yeah.
They say really? So. We actually looked into it a little bit.
No, it's always been. They denied. They denied Mike Tyson.
Really?
Yeah, it took 11 years later, he got allowed in, and it was only, like, to take pictures with a koala bear.
Not even for his fight.
Yeah, it was only a two-day pass. It's insane. They didn't let him in for a fight, but they let him in to take pictures with a koala bear for 2 days.
Yeah.
They're
super strict for entering Australia.
So
we got...
Yeah, no, go ahead.
We have one more. Brandon in Houston says, in your experience, which promotional company accommodates the media the best in terms of fighter availability?
You know, I can't answer that question.
Who accommodates the best? Who accommodates the media the best? It would have to be Top Rank. Till this date, no one has ever done anything like Top Rank has done. Like, look at, we're talking about Australia right now. Top Rank made packages for the media to go to Pacquiao versus whoever the fuck he fought in Macau. You know, it was like $1,500. You know, that was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. No media member could have ever got to Macau and stay at the Venetian for $1,500. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you think Lou DiBella is doing this with the Australia fight? No, he's not. But Bob has been promoting longer than all these fucks, so he understands how to promote. And you can't have a fight in Macau or Australia without U.S. media and have it mean something. You understand? Like, people like to act like boxing is international, but the truth is America is the mecca of boxing. Like, we have two states where they call the mecca of boxing. So it's like, they're not saying that about the O2 Center, and they're definitely not saying about the fucking Marvel Stadium, you know? So it's crazy.
Yeah, I wish I could answer that question, but given how closely I work with everyone, I would really...
Well, no, again, I didn't answer the question from a sense of fighter availability. I'm talking about accommodations for the media from promoters.
What I will say, though, is when, and this is true about the UK, when in the UK, you definitely get more one-on-one opportunities,
mm-hmm.
whereas the US tends to do a lot of scrum, and I don't get it.
No, paparazzi.
It's very like, it's, I don't know.
I've heard of that literally from like every UK guy.
Yeah,
and like,
that's why it's like shocking when you come back here and you're like, are you serious? Like, I'm not making money off of a video that 30 people are sharing. Like,
thank
it's
you.
Just not. And at the end of the day, it is a business. It's not a hobby. It's a business. You're trying to operate a business and you have to make money. It's sort of like, I have to make money to not only pay my bills, but also keep the business going with the travel and the correspondence and everything like that. So,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't understand why some people don't grasp that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
No, they want you to promote their fighter and their fights for free and follow their rules and, you know, just do things the way that they want, how they want. It's insane.
Let me tell you, it was funny. Given that it is a tank fight week, when he fought at the StubHub, it was supposed to be Abner, and they changed it to, who was it, Nunez, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When he fought at the StubHub, the day before, so the day of the weigh-in, Broner's in the hotel lobby, I get him one-on-one, and then everybody just comes fucking rushing in, right? And cool, you know, everybody gets the interview. I ask a question, Broner goes off during the interview. Three channels used that quote, of
yeah.
course. Did one channel did over 1 million. The other two did like over 500,000. And my fucking audio was no good.
Oh.
So I never even.
Wow.
I never. That yeah, I was with you at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you weren't happy.
You'll
remember
how I
that.
See it.
But
if
yeah.
you're standing there by yourself and you caught them one-on-one. Then I don't even approach.
Exactly. I
but
should respect
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you should respect the fact that
absolutely.
Someone has already grabbed them one-on-one.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you're in front of the camera or behind it. It should just be like a respect
absolutely.
Factor. But if, let's say, there's three of you and you're standing by the door and you happen to catch them coming in and you're all three filming, then that's a bit different.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Wrong,
absolutely.
But, like, when I do interviews and people even think about it, I go, stop recording. I will literally say,
yeah.
stop recording. This is a one-on-one.
Yep.
And they'll go, okay.
Yeah,
like, sorry,
no, you're lucky because I think it's because you're a female. They actually stop because, you know, he knows like someone will stop. Another person will just, you know, and you never know because not everyone is recording with a phone. So you don't know whether he's a fan or he's a reporter. All
yeah.
of a sudden, that fan you thought was just a fan with a cell phone and no mic, it's on fire.
You know,
hype.
What's funny is when we were in Texas when Billy Joe was fighting Canelo, I was interviewing Tyson Fury in the lobby. And Tyson's the one who clocked it because I was looking this way and he was looking that way. And someone came up and was filming from this way. And it was actually Tino.
Mm-hmm. Constantino.
But he didn't know that Tino was just taking a photograph for me, you know, to say, oh, I got you
yeah.
behind the scenes doing an interview with Tyson Fury. And Tyson stops. He goes, hey, get the fuck away. But he didn't know. He thought he was recording the
right.
interview. And Tyson even knew then, like, stop. Like, don't record because it's like it was a one-on-one interview. But then I told Tyson, I was like, I appreciate you doing that because you thought someone was recording me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like he's a friend of mine. So he was like,
but that's how – sad this business has become that's what's happening out there. Like you don't know if he's taking a picture,
mm-hmm.
if he's checking his batteries, is that camera rolling? Like, because
mm-hmm.
some people will legit stand there, they have their camera just recording while they're having a conversation with Danny, but they're recording your interview. There's people are so slick,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I've just removed myself
from
those situations.
2018 I was supposed to go to New York, and Ness calls me. He's like, I need you here a day earlier. You know, they just announced, I forget what press conference. It was Danny Jacobs, maybe Deriotenko.
Mm-hmm.
So we get out there, and maybe the day after, 2 days after that, was Billy Joe and Boo Boo press conference in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So we stand in line, I'd say, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour to get a one-on-one with Eddie. And you know, Eddie is pretty good about giving interviews.
Yeah.
So we wait there. Ness is conducting the interview. There's a guy. I see him with a phone. He's recording onto the side. And I was like, can you stop recording? You know, Ness is doing the interview. And he's like, no, I can record. I'm like, he's conducting on one-on-one. I'm like, you can wait just like everybody else. He says, no. Ness is interviewing Eddie. He says, Eddie, 1 second. He's like, if he just told you to stop recording, why are you going to keep recording? Mm-hmm. Would you like me to smack the shit out of you? And the guy just fucking like, because it's like, bro, like, what are you doing? And
who was this person?
A fucking newspaper guy. Mm-hmm. A newspaper
guy.
So
he was ready to grab your quotes and take it like it was his work.
Mm-hmm.
See, I love
No,
because,
no, because
you know what?
You know what they would write? They would write, Eddie told reporters.
Yes. Oh, that happens to me all the time. I'll see something get written about, and I'm like, that is my damn quote. That mm-hmm. is my, but nowhere is there a link to my YouTube
Nothing.
Interview. There's, hell, they don't even mention the name. They'll just be like, was told, you know, at the press conference, da 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 da. I'm like,
and
oh,
it's sad
God.
Because you only see reporters from 10 years ago do that. You know, it's the older guys that refuse to give you the credit. You know, you're a YouTuber to them. It doesn't matter. So they will refuse to give you the credit because Boxing Scene gives you
I've
credit.
Been written as a podcaster.
Fight Hype gives you credit. You know, Boxing 24 gives you credit. Fight
yeah.
News gives you credit. There's a lot of big sites in boxing that give you credit. But the majors, the ESPNs, the Yahoos, man, they're going to change that around.
You know what, though? I've actually gone as far as to emailing people. I'll find the – I'll get to the source.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send them an email. I go, I need you to add the link to my interview on this. And I need you to credit it accordingly because that was my quote.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, so sorry.
It's just so tiring,
no,
though.
No, but it's journalism 101. I'm not even a fucking journalist. I don't consider myself a journalist. I do – I'm a reporter. I'm an interviewer. Like,
right.
It's very different from a journalist. And even I know that that's journalism
but
101.
It's just so tiring for me to have to go out there and tell you how to do your job
yeah.
and ask you, can you give me a link back?
Oh, but Ness, I got copyright happy.
Oh, you use the feature.
You're
I don't even
right.
use it.
You're
I don't even
right.
use it.
You even think of using
it. I used it once.
I'm just gonna get a copy
Let me tell you something. That
right.
ruined my relationship with Ellie. I used it once, and it copyrighted Ellie. Oh, my God. Remember we just seen him. He still brought it up. Like, Ness, you copyrighted me. I'm like, bro, that was the new feature,
no,
bro. Like, what
so
the fuck?
I don't know what it was then, but I know that now you can manually do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all share footage sometimes, like networks will come in and
give
say,
us footage,
yeah,
yes.
Right.
That's exactly
very,
what happened.
I'm very mindful of, like, who I'm copywriting.
Mm-hmm.
But for some odd reason, there tends to be, like, these three accounts in Russia that just tend to take all of my content.
Yep.
And I remember one time they had, like, the views were insane on one, and I think it was a Pacquiao interview. And I was so pissed because mine had barely cracked 100K and theirs had like 300K.
Mm.
And I was so mad because I'm like, you are literally taking money from my pocket and you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do any of the work. All you did was steal my content. So now I don't even give a shit. Do you know how many times I get emailed going, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm just a new boxing account. Could you please just remove it and I won't do it again? I go, no, you should know better. You need to not do that at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Like, when did you ever think it's okay to go steal someone's content and monetize off of it? That's the worst part. You click the link and there's like ads running on it. I'm like, this pisses me off.
No,
I'm like,
bro,
you didn't even, I had to pay to be there. I had to pay.
You had to travel. You had
to
create a relationship.
You took money out of my pocket.
Absolutely. You had to create that relationship just to be there. So it's unfortunate, but luckily for you, you're on to CBS and cornhole, you know, and it'll give you at least, you know, some time away from this very toxic sport. I love it though. Do you watch other sports?
I used to. I didn't. I don't. Never.
You don't
time.
Have the time now.
I used
what did
to
you
follow,
used to watch?
Baseball.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm, I don't watch anymore.
My nickname is actually Dodge. So a lot of people call me Dodger because I was such a huge Dodgers fan.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's back in the day.
To this day. To this day. Yo, and that's why he needs to come back. You see that?
Yeah.
Everybody is like, you know, we all say one of his quotes some,
like,
one way or another.
Like, think about it. Like, for Radio Raheem, that shit was so huge.
Huge.
And not solely because of that, but, yo, he was on Rogan talking about
yeah.
that. Like,
yeah.
that shit was huge for sure, you know. That shit was huge.
Someone said in the comments, I'm gonna steal this interview.
No, look, let me tell you, it happened.
They will.
No, it happened.
Someone have posted. Listen, they may just do
yeah,
it.
I was going to say, it just happened to me. So when
oh my
Haney
God, yeah,
Kambosos
that,
was announced,
that was
Shakur was in camp for the Valdez fight. So Haney had to come do a, you know, like the media photo shoot to promote the fight, you know, everything. So, I mean, it was closed off to the media, but we were invited in through Haney's camp. And I'm interviewing Shakur, and he gets up and starts walking as we're talking, like during the interview. And he goes, greets Devin, and, you know, he's like, how much you weighing right now? You looking a little... And I caught that moment, and this fucking channel stole to Michelle. And these fuckers had, like, maybe 10 videos on their page, and the shit did, like, 100K plus. And I'm like, you fucking cocksucker.
At least, the more than likely, they weren't monetizing if they only had, like...
Yeah, I'm sure, but it's, you know what I mean?
But
it's still...
Sucks because
but
it took money from...
I mean, it took eyes away from, you know, like, mine, like... Motherfucker, I got that invitation, bitch. Like, why are you treating me like this? But not it had. But see, same thing. I don't report. I don't. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Like, I got some more here for you. Coach Myers, all the way in Connecticut, says, "Good morning. Is it more challenging being an attractive woman covering boxing? I'm sure some boxers try to shoot their shot at you while doing interviews. How do you deal with situations like that?"
I feel like that happens more in the beginning than it does now. I think people kind of figured it out by now.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's I think the boundary, like they know they'll be crossing a boundary if they even attempted, you know, some people can be flirty and that's fine and all. I don't mind a bit of banter or flirt. In fact, I kind of like low key respect someone for trying.
Mm.
But I will find it disrespectful if they don't know how to accept the fact that I'm like, I'm good, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get weird about it, that's happened before.
Mm.
You have to almost pretend like it never happened. So, I don't have that problem anymore.
Thank God.
I really don't. Everyone just sort of leaves me be, so, which is great.
Good news. We got Big Casual that says, you've been interviewing top boxing names for years. What's your most memorable interview over the years?
Ooh, I thought it would come quick.
Yeah, I thought it would be Fury. I want to say people probably know you best for the interview with Fury laying in bed and you being in the side on the chairs. Like, I think... Is that not your biggest? I don't check numbers. I'm just saying I feel like it's got a lot of exposure because of who he is.
I've done so many. I mean, there was one where Tyson, when I asked him, like, what he likes to do for fun, and he's like, I like having sex. And I feel like that was, like, a line that constantly people go, I remember that interview. Mm-hmm. It was so great.
It's funny because my most memorable was Angel Garcia. We were in Philly. And probably there's maybe a handful of interviews where I'm in front of the camera, and that was the first one. And Danny was getting ready for the Sean Porter fight, if I'm not mistaken. And Angel goes, they talk about no sex in camp. He's like, yeah, just the last 2 weeks. He's like, because anything else, you know, it's not worth it, you know. But for fighters that do more than 2 weeks, that's fine. Just have your girl call me, and I'll take care of them while you're in camp. And that moment was just – it threw me off, and it was such a funny moment to me. So, like, for me, that's always been that's for sure one of my most –
memorable?
Memorable.
I think my most memorable interviews are with Tyson Fury.
Mm.
But I can't pinpoint one specific because it's so off the wall. Like all of our interviews were, I had no idea where it was going. Like, I always see those clips for like no context Fury or whatever.
Yes.
Okay. I forget he said half the shit he did. Like sometimes I'm sitting there watching it and cracking up as if like I've never seen it.
Have you seen the one with Hearn? No context Hearns? They have one too.
His was
first.
Yeah, that was the original.
Oh, was it?
For Eddie Hearn, no context Hearn.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yep, that was the original.
But for me, like looking back, there were some things that like Tyson had said. Because Tyson is Tyson. Like that's the thing is he really is harmless and people take it as like, oh, you're flirting or he's flirting. I'm like, that's just Tyson. He's that way. He doesn't mean any harm by it. And he doesn't cross the boundary. He just says funny off the wall shit. Mm. And if you don't know how to take his personality, then you can be offended.
Did you guys have any crazy like party nights when you guys were on tour together? Because I know you hosted – how many – you've hosted multiple tours for Tyson, right?
Yeah, a lot. He has a new one coming up too, but I'm more than likely not going to be.
And for those who aren't familiar, he does like meet and greet tours in the UK where he goes to different cities.
Yeah.
So you've kind of
– at one point we did 12 cities.
Wow.
It was pretty consecutive too. It was a lot. I was like, man, how do people do it when they're on the road, like artists? And they're like, the next night they're doing a full-blown set.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just literally getting in a car and driving from one town to the next. But the challenge was doing the interviews back to back to back, but they also wanted a format. They wanted to still kind of start at the beginning, like where how it all began, like with his father, all these different things. So Tyson started to get to a point where he was like, all right, ask me something different. What do you, I'm like, they want me to do this. Like, but then it was like constantly being challenged with like staying on my toes and finding new things to talk about and how to ask him things that seem different, but were very still on topic for what they wanted me to cover. So it was a lot of fun. But any of them will tell you, I do not party. I like to be in bed. I like pajamas. I'm kid you not. They call me Grandma Phelps.
See,
I don't go out. And if I do go out, I like a good dinner, a few cocktails, and then I'm done.
See, because, and the reason I asked, because you brought up the music. I could imagine being on tour and I'm like, how do they keep up? And you know, they're partying, they're clubbing. So I was like, maybe it was a little bit of that. You know, when you guys were on
tour. There was actually one time when Deontay Wilder did a tour and I did one of the stops. But we went out because it was actually my birthday.
Oh, okay.
So we all went out partying after that.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm assuming Telly was there as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just the team?
Yep.
Okay.
Just the team. But it was, we were already going to this club in, I think it was Birmingham. And obviously everyone's like, what are we doing? And I'm like, well, it's kind of my birthday. You guys, like, if we want to go, like, we could do something.
Right.
So, that was probably the only time I've been out in a while.
I have Victor Banuelos. He says, obviously Canelo losing is good for the sport, but do you believe it actually changes the game? Will some of these guys start fighting each other? These guys are still calling out Canelo instead of Bivol. Also, what five fights do you really want to see within the next 3 to 4 years? So that's a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Starting back, he says, do you think Canelo losing actually changes the landscape?
No, I don't. Did you guys think that it changed the landscape? I don't. I think him moving up was, if he lost, then it's like, oh, he dared to be great. And then if he won, then it just goes to show, like, you know, how talented he really is. But I don't think it takes away from anything. I know Benavidez said the other day that he's like, look, I'm not waiting on a Canelo fight. I wish we would all just fight each other already. And I support that. I think, you know, I know that him and Caleb Plant are likely to have their fight. Is it next?
Not sure.
Those are the rumors right now.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Benavidez.
But see,
Caleb wants it too. Like, that's the fight he wants.
Yeah, I was hearing that Plant Durrell was likely next, given that, you know, Plant.
He needs a tune-up fight too. Yeah.
So I don't know if they give him a tune-up. I don't know if they give him a Benavidez fight. But, like, the thing is, Canelo's still the undisputed champion at 168.
Yes,
so it's like that hasn't changed. Mm-hmm.
It's not like he lost at 168.
Yeah.
And then that changes the landscape.
Right, because now he doesn't have the belts.
But it's like, I mean, were you surprised that Bivol won? Because I'm not surprised, but I believe everyone believed that Canelo was going to win.
I did believe Canelo was going to win. I was surprised at how dominant Bivol was. I mean, it wasn't close.
Yeah, not even.
Like, nothing. I mean, the arm shots he tried, like, it wasn't effective. Like, he was still jabbing them all night, still throwing. I mean, it was simple. It was like jab, right hand. You know, he tried that left hook a couple times and missed pretty bad. You know, but he was dominant.
Mm-hmm.
He dominated that fight. So that's what surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. Him winning, like I said, I did pick Canelo, but him winning, like, he's a champion. He's a bigger guy. That didn't surprise me, but how dominant he's...
Well, when he, it's funny because when he talked about the rematch immediately after, the first thing I said to everybody was like, he ain't going to rematch Bivol next. I'm like, no, what? Yeah, you will. He just said it. And I'm like, no, he won't. He won't rematch Bivol next. And so I wasn't surprised that they still went ahead and did the Triple G fight. So I don't think it changed anything. I think Canelo is still, you know, pound for pound. I could still argue he's pound for pound number one. I mean, I could still argue that.
A lot of people could. A lot of people could. But I wanted to ask you, so for you, do you think that if the rematch does happen in May, how they're perhaps suggesting, do you think that Bivol does indeed come down to 68?
Wait, so what in May? What do you mean?
They're suggesting.
Oh, the following May.
Yes, next May would be the Bivol rematch, right? Is what's being suggested.
Bivol told me that post-fight when I did the interview with him. So,
but then it maybe like a day or two.
He didn't say, like, he just said suggested maybe I fight him at 168 for all the belts. Like, that's what he suggested. But I don't think that – I think Bivol would probably still stay at 175.
Do you think – so do you think that that's what he should do?
Bivol?
Yeah.
Stay at 175? Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting because they've been saying even before the fight happened that he could make 68.
Yeah.
So it's like if I'm Bivol and I just – had this easy time with Canelo, why, and I can make the weight, why not go become an undisputed champion? I mean, Joe Smith and Beterbiev are already scheduled for June 18th, so he'd literally be like two fights away from undisputed.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of Joe Smith Beterbiev and then fighting Canelo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what Canelo, like, I do think he can make adjustments in a rematch, I just don't know that it'll be enough to actually win the fight. Like, I don't see Canelo never hurt, stunned, not wobbled, nothing with Bivol.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
But did you think that it was more of a size, like a weight thing, or did you feel like it was a skills thing?
I think it was game plan. He just chose the wrong game plan. It seems like he went for the same Callum Smith game plan, and it didn't work, and he never let up. He just kept going for the arm, I guess eventually hoping that it would drop or that he couldn't use it. But, it, you know, Bivol was stronger and thicker as a naturally bigger man. So, his arm didn't get fucked up like Callum's. That's all I could think of. I mean, he didn't do anything different. He didn't adjust at all that night. He just kept trying the same thing over and over to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then towards the end, it was kind of like not trying to get, you know,
knocked out.
I felt like, did you feel that way being there live? That the last few rounds he was more on a, it's not like he was running necessarily, but he also wasn't trying to engage as much. I felt like he was just trying to be more on the defensive side, kind of realized like 10th round, like I lost the fight. I'm not getting the knockout. And I felt like he kind of went into defensive mode like the last couple rounds.
Like he kind of just gave up, not gave up, but.
I think
he looked flustered. He didn't seem like he had a plan B.
Yeah.
Am I wrong for saying that?
No.
He didn't have a plan B.
Because no, because it was the same thing
exactly
all night.
That's exactly what it was.
It was the same thing all night. And then, like, the weird thing, too, to me was, like, I don't know, like, if you went up to 75 before and knocked out Kovalev, granted, you know, Kovalev is older or was older. Why? I really don't get the vegan diet. Like, that shit right there just doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would I go vegan and go up in weight?
Yeah, but you're just, as a Canelo fan, looking for reasons why. Like, you know, no one questions vegan any other time. He lost today, so it's a problem. I know this was his first camp, but we have other fighters that go vegan and don't lose.
No, absolutely.
Some of them live by it and swear by it.
Absolutely.
Timothy Bradley.
Absolutely, but I'm saying, like, he was jumping up to the highest he's ever jumped up, which he's only done once before, and he struggled with Kovalev. Most people had him down at the time of the knockout. So, I don't know. There was just – that was where, you know – you know, and like you said, there was no plan B. There was no adjusting. So I don't know. I don't know that even if he does make adjustments, could he win a rematch? Even if it is at 68, I don't know that he can win a rematch. Like, Bivol won decisively, despite what the judges said.
I mean, again, there's a sense of familiarity when you're in the ring with someone, so maybe he feels like he can make some adjustments that he didn't make during the fight. We'll see. I got Lidge Low in Decatur, Georgia, that says, living in Las Vegas, do you smoke marijuana?
No. No.
So we're not having a smoke break after this.
I like hookah, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Danny has the ultimate hookah spot here in Vegas.
That's the spot.
Oh, she's been there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's her spot.
The truth comes out, Michelle. You tried to tell me that was your spot.
No, that was my spot. It was funny. So we were at a different bar, and it was like a group of us. I forget for what fight, maybe Crawford, Porter. I can't really remember, but she's like, yeah, I got a great hookah spot. I'm like, me too. And it was the same spot.
Oh, okay. That's dope.
So, a couple of us went out for that fight or that night. And I actually ended up there last night.
But wait, did you know someone who worked there?
No.
Ah, so it's your spot, Danny, because Danny knows that bartender.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've just been there a lot. Well, I used to go there a lot. So, you know, I like the laid-back, relaxed
vibe. Yeah, me too.
That whole plaza, let me tell you.
You went to have sushi last night.
Yes. And let me tell you, that plaza, that shopping center is probably the best shopping center in all of Las Vegas. Yeah.
You could go have sushi on a date.
Very,
right?
Very good sushi, bro. Like,
tell me after, because I don't want you to blow it up here so, you know, your spot doesn't get taken.
They're on TBV. They need to know. When you come to Vegas, you could go to Danny's parking lot.
It's across the street from the Virgin. Bro, that whole parking lot is
fire. So you're going to have dinner and sushi, right?
It doesn't have to be sushi because they have a delicious Korean barbecue spot right there.
Yeah, that's how I know.
Very delicious Korean barbecue spot right there. Hold on. But if you want to get a little bit more elegant, if you want to get a little bit more elegant, one of the highest rated Italian restaurants in that parking lot, right? But, you know, maybe you want to do something chill and you want to have dinner and hookah at the same time. They got the lounge in the same parking lot right there. And then after, bro, they got insomnia cookies right there. But maybe before all of this, you need an outfit. Bro, they have Undefeated, one of the
I know where he is. I go to Undefeated all the time.
Exactly.
In that
shopping center.
Ooh.
So, bro, that whole shopping center is popping.
See, I would do a movie, stop to get sushi. Don't even have to move my car once
it's
I park.
All there.
Go get a little macadamia from Insania and then shoot to the hookah spot to listen to decent music. I'm not a hookah smoker, but when I went with him, they have decent music.
Yeah, they do.
And obviously they serve drinks and what.
They serve drinks.
You know, food.
So, yeah, they definitely have food as well. So we ate there. I know you were like,
And Danny's bartender is very nice. We have Young Tiga that says, congrats on all your success, Michelle. Who would you like to see Danny Garcia fight next?
Ooh. Good question.
Let me think about that one. Well, isn't he moving to 154?
Mm-hmm. Rumor is he should be fighting David Benavidez's brother, Jose Benavidez Jr. Okay. The rumors.
That's the rumors.
Huh. Well,
what do you
think
of that potential matchup?
Yeah, I mean, a great test for Danny at 154. Obviously, it would be great to see him face Charlo, who's undisputed, eventually. But in the meantime, I mean, yeah, I would say that's a good point. But I would definitely answer that question. I would say Charlo ultimately. Danny is a former world champion, so it'd be good to see him fight for another title in a new division. Although I would love to see him be more active.
Yeah, Danny.
He's not nearly as active as I think he should be. And if he's going to want to go on and face, you know, or attempt at another world title at 154.
Yeah, we didn't see him all of 2021. His last fight was December 5th, 2020 against Errol Spence. Like, we haven't seen him since. So definitely agree on the activity portion.
It's kind of like when people ask me, what do you think of Canelo versus Triple G, the trilogy? You know, who do you have there? And I'm like, obviously, I don't predict or make any predictions or anything like that. But one must acknowledge that Triple G has not been very active the last 2.5 years. I think, what, he fought twice in 2.5 years, whereas Canelo is fighting three times. Did he fight three times?
Do you think he gets the knockout, though?
He's fought four times.
Steve Rose, Sedimenta.
No, in the last 2.5 years.
Oh, two
never,
and a half.
Because he,
of the pandemic.
Well,
yes.
Everyone else was fighting over the pandemic.
Yeah, no, so
and
he fought Sedimenta and then now Morata, that's it. But
remember when he announced Morata, remember the initial one, it was early in the year. They were already planning for December.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, gee, you are going to fight before that, right? Or are you literally going the whole
No, you're
year?
Right. It was like April,
it was,
May.
It was early, what, 2021? Yes. And then he announced it for fucking
December.
New Year's Eve.
And then,
wait, what?
And then, of course, it gets pushed, you know, because of the pandemic again. And, you know.
And prior to that, when he did fight over the pandemic, that was the same weekend as Canelo versus
Callum Smith. It was the night before.
Yeah. That he it had been, what, a year and, what, 15, 16 months, I think it was?
Yeah, October, that was December, so it had been 14 months.
Yeah.
It had been 14 months. And I'm going to be honest, even in that fight, I'm like, I didn't even know Sedimenta. G did not look good. It's like, yeah, he got the knock, but it's like he looked tired. He did not look good. His fight before that, Derevyanchenko, most people felt he lost that. Mm-hmm. Myself,
I actually thought Derevyanchenko won.
Yeah, I did as well. Mm-hmm. I did as well. So, you know, it's funny. Marcos pulled up the media scores from Canelo Triple G. I know you saw it. I know you saw it. Canelo Triple G 2. Media, ringside media gave their scores on who won the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And out of 34 people, only two picked Canelo.
Yeah.
In that second fight, that's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. I'm actually excited to actually go to this fight because the first two I hadn't been able to attend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was because I was overseas.
Whoa.
The Super Series was one. And then the other one, I can't recall what it was, but I wasn't able to come back in time to do it and then go back. It was something like that.
Yeah, because I want to say – for the second one?
For the second fight, screen share, I got Mike Tyson says Canelo won. Andre Ward says Canelo won. George Foreman, Canelo. Mikey Garcia, Canelo. David Hay, Canelo. Michael Conlon, Canelo. Julio Cesar Chavez, Canelo. David Lemieux, Canelo. Bundridge, Canelo. Miguel Cotto, Canelo. Shield said Canelo. Jorge Arce said Canelo. Truax, former champion, said Canelo. Garcia said Canelo by sweep. That's 8-4. And that's Robert Garcia. Amir Khan said Canelo. I mean, where did you find? Oh, you said 22 media members.
Yeah, it was ringside media that was at.
Well, better for fighters to think you won because Earl thought he won. Linares thought he won. Billy Joe thought he won. Even Floyd Mayweather Jr. thought he won. I think we can end it there. That's his rival. And, you know, he basically tells you when he's ducking and when he's not. If he thought he won, he won.
Yeah, no. I'm pulling it up. But
you know what's interesting is when I initially when I saw it, I thought it was going to be a draw.
Mm. The second fight.
Second one.
Oh, wow.
And that's why, like, looking back, I could, you know, I probably changed my mind. I did have Canelo edging it, but it was in the moment I felt like this is definitely a draw. This is definitely a draw.
Austin, can I get a screen share? So, yeah, this is like Media Row, basically, from the fight.
It was me. Golovkin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So 115, 113. I'm trying to see. I want to say that, so 34 for Golovkin, 2 for Canelo, and then there was 15 for draw. So obviously not everybody's in here, but yeah. That's weird, or not weird, but that's funny to see, Ness, that you pulled up like the media,
mm-hmm.
or you pulled up the fighters and I pulled up the media, and it was like.
Opposites.
Total opposite.
But again, fighters know. Look, Cotto lost. To Canelo and still said Canelo beat Triple G. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Shields thinks she's the best in the world and still said Canelo beat Triple G.
Which contracts are signed for Clarissa Shields
and Marshall
and Savannah Marshall mm-hmm. September.
Look, even Adam Booth, man, come on.
So they're saying either September 3rd or 10th will be that fight.
Mm.
You excited for that one?
Yeah.
You excited?
Is it? Do they say where it's going to be? Is it going
to
be UK?
It has to
probably
be.
It's definitely going to be the UK.
I still might have
It's on Boxer, so it's got to be out there.
Oh, that's
I do want to do one final screen share before we go ahead and wrap up, take a picture with Michelle. Check it out. Do you think he retires to really fight Ngannou in the ring? He's rolling around in a mat today with Nate Diaz. This got to be some good publicity for Tyson to get the old boxing world stirred up as to whether he's really retiring and going into MMA. Rolling around with, what would you consider Nate a legend? I don't watch these sports.
Yeah, Diaz is definitely a legend.
The Diaz brothers are definitely.
And look at Fury's message. Nice bit of rolling around on the mat. So,
That's actually Nick Diaz. Sorry.
Yeah, that's Nick. That's
well,
his older brother.
The two of you guys are actually the MMA people here. So, what's that mean for you?
You know, I think the Diaz brothers are legends in the MMA world. They're definitely definitely some gangsters, that's for sure.
100%.
No, I like to see – I always like to see fighters interact, even in the same sport. When, you know, when I see boxers, you know, sparring each other, like top guys sparring each other, I like to see that shit. But to see, you know, top guys in different sports, that's always good too. And I feel like it helps one another, right, because – you have your audience and I have my audience. So I think that's really cool to see.
For sure.
So Michelle, you don't really watch any MMA, do you?
I do lightly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I pretty much know the gist of it.
Right.
But to answer that question, I think Tyson is like kind of, you know, like how I'm feeling about boxing, you know, like just needing a break, just needing a reset. I think, like, because I asked him post-fight after the Dillian White fight, I said, or asked him, is it more of a you've lost your passion or is it that you're just, you know, like, does he want to, like, still do combat or is it just boxing, like, specific? Mm-hmm. And it was boxing specific. So I think what happens is you just get so caught up in doing the same thing again and again and again and again that I think that it would be a nice change for him to go on to do exhibitions and do other things. And
well, I think it also has to do with the fact that he's conquered board. So it's like he can't go any higher. So, you know, there's nothing else to do.
I mean, he can.
What do you think is out there?
If he wants to be undisputed all at once. Like
I don't know that anyone thinks Usyk beats him, man. I'm being real. Do you guys think Usyk beats him? Well, I mean, you spent a lot of time over there with near Usyk. I mean, do you think he has a shot?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd be an idiot to sit here and say that Usyk doesn't have a shot at it, but I'd also be an idiot to say that, you know, Tyson Fury is so dominant in this. I mean, he's literally it can be argued if anyone can ever beat Tyson Fury. I mean, he's just a freak of nature.
No, he is.
Really is something special. I mean, but not, I can't put anything past anybody. I'm like, honestly, you just never know.
Before you came on, we were talking obviously with Wilder saying that, you know, he's going to come back, you know, and you mentioned it, AJ Wilder is still such a huge fight.
Yeah.
And we were discussing, you know, if Fury actually steps away, he might pull Mayweather, maybe wait for the heavyweight landscape to get a bit interesting or intriguing for him and come out of retirement a year and a half from now and, you know, step back into the mix.
Tyson Fury will step back into the mix. I'm confident of that. I mean, his own father said it. I truly, in my heart of hearts, when listening to Tyson and where he's at right now, he wants a change. Doesn't mean he doesn't love what he does. He just wants a change right now. I literally keep saying it's like where I'm at. Give someone a nice reset and then let them come back and they'll be even better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just everyone needs to clear their head. Mm-hmm. It becomes so repetitive and redundant. The same media, the same
questions
over and over. And it's just sort of like, oh, okay. Like, I know I have these obligations to make with networks, but now he's sitting in a position where he can kind of control like what his next move is. And he wants to do exhibitions. So let him do an exhibition. And I think that's a fantastic fight to do with Ngannou. I mean, it's going to sell like a motherfucker. I mean, it's insane how big that fight is in terms of the crossover. It's, in my opinion, it completely blows out Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather numbers.
Mm, I don't know, but maybe because it's heavyweights. Maybe.
I'd
heavyweights.
Watch it.
I'm watching.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know.
I don't know because Francis Ngannou to me is far of the star that Conor is.
Not like, even close, yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
but you're also talking about Tyson Fury. I
yeah,
know,
but
it,
you're talking about Floyd Mayweather. Like,
yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
But heavyweights always draw, though.
No, yeah.
I
think it could be a mega success, million plus, but those are huge numbers. Those are huge numbers. And
but they are heavyweights, though.
Yeah,
yeah,
they are. And if
yeah.
they do pull it off, I mean, that just goes to show, you know, how
well, remember,
how
a lot of people
are.
Didn't believe that Tyson Fury versus Dillian White was going to sell the way that it did. No one believed that
mm-hmm.
because Dillian wasn't doing any PR and they're like, oh, it's not going to be, it's going to be the promotion's falling flat, this and that. I mean, it still sold what it sold. And
right.
it's still a draw, a massive draw.
You were there, right?
Yeah.
How was that most electric fight you've ever been to?
Okay. So this is going to, I'm going to sound like an absolute snob when I say this, but it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. But because I had covered so many with Anthony Joshua, who sold 70,000-80,000, it was like I couldn't tell the difference between 80,000 and 90,000.
Oh,
it was
wow.
just like – it was just – I just know it was packed.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I couldn't tell that difference between, you know, the extra – you
10,
know,
20,000.
Well, I mean,
10,
what was it? I think – actually, I think one of AJ's sold 90,000.
Yeah.
So this one
with
was
Klitschko.
90, this one was – 94,000.
Okay, so it was just
so
4,000 more.
It wasn't like I hadn't already seen that, but
okay.
But it was absolutely amazing. I always get chills when I'm at those sold out stadiums and you hear the crowd chanting and singing, and it's just next level.
You know, we were both there in Dallas for Canelo Billy Joe, which holds the record largest indoor boxing fight in the U.S. 73,126. That was dope. But the atmosphere for Wilder Fury 1 in L.A.,
amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever came across something like that, yeah. truly. But I also never covered a Floyd fight. But Wilder Fury 1 in Los Angeles, Staples Center, let's not forget. I wasn't there for the second one. I was playing soldier across the way. But the first one, bro, that atmosphere, I will never
mm-hmm.
forget it. I will never forget it. And I just thought on Floyd Ricky Hatton and what – I'm like, if this is what this is like, what was Floyd Ricky Hatton?
Insane. Because
you know?
He brought 30.
Yeah. Wasn't it that they ran out of beer?
They ran
the
out
MGM
of the beer.
Ran
the,
out of beer.
The MGM Grand Garden Arena ran out of beer before the main event took
That's
off.
Crazy.
That's
crazy.
That's the UK –
Yeah,
that's
their culture,
you.
Man.
That
they love is. They love to have beer and
yep.
boxing, man.
Yep.
Honestly, I wish that we had fans as enthusiastic as them because, you know, they love their fighters,
mm-hmm.
regardless of losses and wins. Mm-hmm. They're there to cheer. But if you want to direct our audience, any projects, anything that you want to do, or just social media, please give it out at this time. And we're going to go ahead and take a picture with Michelle Phelps and be back.
Yeah, I'm launching a podcast, actually. I'll be announcing the platform soon, but it's a paranormal podcast.
Okay.
Paranormal?
Yeah.
Ghosts?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you into, you're into that? Like,
so are you going to be
yeah?
Cooper?
Yeah.
So are you going to be like...
It's called Behind the Ghosts.
Okay, nice. Spinoff of Behind the Gloves.
Yeah.
But are you going to do, like, your own documentaries, or are you going to, like, find movies?
Stories or...
Yeah.
So the podcast for Behind the Ghosts is going to be on the Behind the Gloves. It's like the Behind the Gloves podcast. But my podcast, personal one, is going to be called What the Phelps Is That?
Okay.
Instead of like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have like all different stories and different documentation and stuff like that because...
That's
I,
a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because I actually like UFO hunt
mm.
and I know I'm actually going this Sunday.
Out here in
yeah.
Vegas?
Yeah.
There's spot. Where do you? How do you UFO hunt?
What do you mean? How do you UFO hunt
like,
out
do
here?
Do? I don't.
Area 51, dog.
She was like, yeah, we're gonna go out. I forget what fucking fight that was. It was a big fight. We're gonna go out to come join us. What the you fucking?
So you just go to the desert
do?
And look for lights?
No. Well, we go just outside of the boundaries of Area 51. I mean, you're sharing the sky with their, you know,
right.
whatever they're doing. You're looking in that direction. You'd be surprised what you find.
Mm.
I'm going to be releasing like pictures and videos of what you do find.
I'm tuning in.
And again, you don't know if it's like the little aliens. You just know an unidentified flying object. That's a UFO. You
yeah.
don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So it's not saying that it's like full of little green men, you know, shooting back off into God knows where. But there's also a lot of proof that there are some weird stuff like that going
from
on.
From the government.
I mean, the government just released the Pentagon
yeah.
just released 1,500 pages
mm-hmm.
of more documentation.
I do know
Bro,
that.
Bro, can I just say this real quick? Because this is what I genuinely, this is a topic on my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The Pentagon released documents saying that there have been unaccounted for pregnancies through abductions.
Mm.
Now, this is straight from the Pentagon. I want to know where the fuck those kids are.
Yeah.
No, I want to know where those kids are. I want to know, well, what you mean? Like, if you documented someone got pregnant, surely y'all are like, they had the baby and you're keeping track of, like, what?
Oh, yeah.
What?
They got that baby in some
lab,
some glass case.
Right, some
but
fucking
like,
lab.
That's bizarre, and yet it's not even like
I'm tuned it
a
in.
Major
I'm
topic
tuned it
on
what?
Mainstream media. It's bizarre to me.
Mm.
So like, there's so many things that people want to dispute and say, "Oh, it's not real." I'm like, bro, this is coming from
the
government.
Pentagon,
do you know
yeah.
the only reason that we're even getting this information is because of the Freedom of Information Act?
Mm.
Do you know that they try to put caps on things? So they're like the only release, like for example, when the vaccines, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they were like, they're going to give us the information 78 years from now.
Whoa.
I'm
yeah.
like, well, we'll all be dead. So it'll be like our kids' kids that are going to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you like keep the findings like under lock like that unless you're hiding something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so to me, it just like screams sketchy. So when you get these documentations where the government is talking about, you know, like legit beings and different different objects they found or flying saucers that they found, reverse engineering them, I'm like, bro, like,
yeah,
come on.
Mm. Yeah,
like,
we need to know.
So make
I'm
sure
tuning
that,
in.
Yeah,
so, yeah, when is this launching?
So it's going to be the first week of June.
Okay.
What the Phelps is that, but I'll be announcing the platform that I'm putting it on.
Okay.
And then the other one, obviously, for Behind the Gloves, which is Behind the Ghost, which will feature boxing personalities.
Okay.
So they'll be telling me their paranormal stories,
mm.
like
oh, wow.
what they've encountered and stuff. Like, it's quite interesting, actually.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's because I grew up in a haunted house, so I have like a lot of stories myself. A lot of different things have happened. I have video footage over the years of really weird like paranormal stuff going on in the house. It's just something I'm passionate about. Like I was saying to Danny, I was like, for me, it's just about getting that excitement back for what I do. And sometimes that needs me, I need to be able to like kind of do other things so that it's not always so one-sided with something.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
Yeah, but I'm still incorporating like boxing into what I also am
right.
passionate about, but just in a different capacity.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going to be doing, and along with the ACL, the American Cornhole League. And I have another announcement early June. And yeah.
Well, congrats on all the success.
Congrats
yeah.
on your continued success.
Let everybody
success.
Know your Instagram handle, too.
Well, it's Michelle Joy Phelps, and then Twitter is Michelle Phelps.
All right, we're going to take this quick intermission, and we'll be back after this picture. Peace.
You think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Because when he has been in the bright lights and enjoying his time, having fun and lapping up, no problem. You're the big celebrity. You're in the bright lights. I've been in the dark, in the trenches, in the gym.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
And the new IBO, WBO, WBA, WBC franchise, Red Ring Magazine.
Hey, Boston, when does camp start? Camp started as soon as I met Dave from my life prison. As soon as I battered him and took all his belts, camp started the next day.
Ah, what a right hand from Gurkhan Valdez, and the takeover went down!
He's a good villain, though. He's a good villain.
Could have fought anybody. Lomachenko, Devin Haney. Unfortunately, Lomachenko is not available. Beautiful. Devin Haney, step up. Now we'll take your belt.
Promotion.
But he says, finish his fight as a king. What's a king to an emperor?
You are now locked into the Boxing Voice live from Las Vegas with Nesta Gibbs and Ringwalk Danny.
Let's start with this. I'm a creative genius.
SCS.
And now, the most dangerous producer on YouTube, Brandon in Houston.
You're now locked into the king of all boxing podcasts, The Boxing Voice. Jab that like button.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
What is it? They don't like the Charlo. You like the Charlo?
The unified WBA, WBC, and IBF 154-pound champion of the world.
I'm happy. Not angry. I'm passionate.
The WBC middleweight champion of the world.
No, I think you're a great fighter. And
I
like,
know that. I know that already.
They say, oh, the Charlo, they fought nobody. Duh, because they know the fighters. Fighters. Come on.
Like I said, I went to the top already. I seen the bottom before. At the top, I seen the bottom. I went back down to the bottom and shot back the fuck back up. Now what they mad at me for?
It's not like old school boxing. For the best, like the best no more. It's about politics. It's about who you know, who you are, who, if you got a crowd behind you.
Get your ass in your way to business. Let's see if you can be one of them. Because fucking with me, you gonna get knocked the fuck out. I'm gonna knock out on you, baby.
If we stand by lines only, just like we made this up, we're going to ride with it. We're going to ride with it to the day we die.
Jermell. Jamal. Charlo.
SDS Promotions.
Shut the fuck up,
oh,
you
yeah?
little prick.
Yeah?
Yeah, prick. Come on, get him out of here.
Yeah, you're getting out of here.
Yeah, move him out of here.
SDS Promotions.
Series for me, and fucking fighting's the game. His heart's rattling now. His balls have sunk up inside of him. There's a man here that's going to annihilate your daughter.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
The heavyweight champion of the world. The greatest fighter that's ever lived. Ever laced a pair of boxing gloves on. Ever stood in a boxing arena.
Me, the Gypsy King.
Fury, under the hands of Sugar Hill, is just a different beast. He's a different monster.
Joshua's a coward. Usyk's a pussy, and Dillian White don't want to fight. So if you can prove me wrong, get to fucking fighting.
What up? We are back with King Born.
Brooklyn Zoo is coming through your town.
Let's get to it.
When you see old dirty bastards in a position like that, then you know that I'll get ready to bust your...
What up?
Hey, yo, what up, man? Listen, man, y'all know how I do. Love my TBV comrades. Love my TBV live chat comrades. King Born Chronicles. Wilder, Roly, and fucking Tank. Let's go. This Roly shit, Cuba, motherfuckers riding around in refrigerators, getting eaten up by sharks, trying to come here. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers and Fidel Castro and shit. He locked up Pitbull cousin that was a butcher for 20 years for stealing meat just to serve his family. So Cuba been fucked up with Fidel Castro, but Fidel Castro was Malcolm X man. But the whole shit went left. Now let's go to Baltimore. Yo, let me tell y'all something. Everybody, I love The Wire, Omar, all that shit based on true characters. Dudes from Baltimore said The Wire wasn't as crazy as it really was out there. When dudes was 14 years old, running up on the side of cop cars and shooting police officers in the head. I say that to say this, y'all. Listen, you got the shark shit. You got this tank shit. Hey, yo, yeah, let me cut a little bit.
Mr. TBC, baby.
I'm going to make my money, baby.
Hey, Daddy.
I'm going to make my money, baby.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God.
Hey, Daddy. This is
Dolly.
Mr. TBC. Good morning, America. Good morning, TBV. Good morning, Ness. Danny the Mechanic, some other peoples, and Tanner. Shout out to Discord for letting me out. I'm out on bail, fresh out of jail. Wilder coming back, baby. He's coming back like Cook Crack. I remember that album by Joel Santana. He's definitely coming back. I've been saying I'm the biggest Wilder supporter back here. I've heard LV and him. He's cool, but really, he said he talked to Deontay Wilder's baby cousin, and he wasn't going to return. Well, I've been telling him he's going to return. Wilder's still a big problem in the heavyweight division, no matter what you want to say, no matter what formula you use to calculate it, he's still a big problem. AJ's head is definitely going to have some troubles that night. But, you know, shout out to Bivol, shout out to Floyd Mayweather, shout out to Deontay Wilder, Chris Colbert, Craig Richards, all still my favorite fighters. No matter what happens, they go in that ring and fight. And if you don't like them, you should go in that ring and fight them, and see what happens. Can't wait for Canelo Triple G. Shout out to Canelo for beating Triple G.
All right, who's that?
Swift out the 813, but first, Jay Miller said they did a super chat and they're giving King Born a counterpunch.
Oh, yeah? Where's King Born? He's not here. High and Low Sports Centrum with a super chat. This says the boxing voice is made.
Shout out to you. Let's get the Swift out in the 813.
Swift, you there?
Mic check.
Yeah.
Mic check.
1-2-1-2.
Hey, man, good day for us. Good day, man. Shout out to Ness. Shout out to Ringwalk. Shout out to you, Austin. Hey, shout out to Bama Bull. One time for all y'all fellas. Hey, man, I'm ecstatic, super ecstatic about this, man. Loving the fact that Wilder's coming back to the game. He's what the game needs right now, definitely. You know what I'm saying? I don't care who he fights. You know, and that man, he needs a strap. Man needs a strap. However you get it, I'm with it. Tune-ups. While Fury, fucking AJ, everybody's getting knocked out. Next time coming, man. You know what I'm saying? Fury Wilder 4. Fury Wilder 4. I'm going with Wilder, baby. You know what I'm saying? One time for the Bomb Squad, man. Welcome back to the game. And also, yeah, shout out to Canelo and Triple G. You know what I'm saying? When they get in it, you know what I'm saying? Canelo's knocking his ass out 7th round. You know what I'm saying? And it's fight week. Let's roll the tank. I'm telling y'all, man, master jab session coming from Tank. Let's go. Let's get with it, man. I'm saying, let's get this excitement up. Shout out for Mrs. I'm saying, Behind the Gloves and all her endeavors. You know what I'm saying? Loving her story, loving the interview. One time for her. I'm definitely tuning in to what she's talking about. That shit definitely piqued my interest. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate y'all for bringing her on. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, man, give y'all roses. Shout out to TBV, the TBE podcast. You know what I'm saying? And that's my call, man. Y'all boys stay up, stay healthy.
All right.
We have King Born in, so I'm going to go ahead and add
King Born, and you said Jay Miller?
Yes, I saw the super chat for
$4.99. All right, let's do it.
Hey, yo, thank you, Jay Miller. Thank you, my brother. Listen, man, let me get back to the shit real quick. The thing about this Tank shit, Tank come from one of the most roughest, grimiest joints ever in America, right? And I don't think Rowley understand. He ain't scared of nothing. Let me get the Wilder. He got the statue. Yo, he got the braids and shit right now. Shit gonna be wild and crazy in the heavyweight. Because I got Wilder for his tune-up. He could get Gerald Miller. He could get Zhao Xing. He could get motherfucking Rodell Booker. Any chump stepping up to Wilder getting knocked the fuck out. We getting AJ. We getting fucking Ruiz. We getting goddamn who else y'all want? Fuck it. Who else y'all want right now? Put it in the chat. Who else y'all want to see Wilder knock out? We don't give a fuck about Dillian White. Get him out of here. Wilder will destroy Martin Bacoli. All that shit, y'all. Peace.
All right. Who next?
It's Mr. PBC again.
Counter puns. Let me get to these super chats. I got El Camino Electrical Services with a $10 super chat. It says, good for her. Tell her I'll be watching Cornhole and that I've always been riding for her on the Twitter timeline. Chingong Ja. What? No, wait. Chingong Ja Ke Abia? What the hell is that, bro? That's like a run-on word, right? Chingong Ja Ke Kia. I don't know.
Let me see. Chingong. Ya chingon yaki. Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I got Chick Chickarelli. Shout out to Chick. He says, if I close my eyes.
Oh, chingon yaki Abe.
Oh, chingon yaki Abe.
Yeah.
We got Chick Chickarelli that says, if I close my eyes and listen, I swear Ness was talking with J-Lo. Can you guys hear it? Yeah.
She's cool. That was a good interview.
We got Average Boxing Fan. It says, happy birthday to myself and happy birthday. Oh, happy early birthday to Ness. Shout out to you and happy birthday, Gemini Season Champ. Thank you. Mr. DeZone says, Canelo pound for pound, number one. Fire emoji, crown emoji, and that's actually Dr. DeZone. We got another one from Gills Newman. It says, big fan of Michelle from the UK. Keep doing your thing. Bridges Puentes. $10 super chat, no nothing, just showing love.
Shout out to you.
And man. Obviously Jay Miller had the counterpunch. It looks like on
Mr. PBC just did a counterpunch.
Yeah, he said Mr. PBC with his $5. He says counterpunchy.
What up, Mr. PBC? Mr. PBC.
Mr. PBC. Oh shit.
Yo, what's good? What's
what
good,
up?
Mr. PBC call of the month.
In the building.
Niggas can't fuck with me. I'm the nicest nigga on the back call.
Yo, you made one pick, bro. You picked Caleb against Canelo too and Billy Joe.
No, I didn't. Go back and I'll bet you $50.
That was Caleb. My bad.
Yeah, thank you. You're bad.
No, actually, I just picked them to go to the decision. I didn't think they was going to win.
No, with Bivel. I got any amount of money for Better Beef. Better Beef is about to be 39 years old. He's old. Bivel has beat him multiple times in the amateurs. The dude don't want the smoke ever since the HBO days, ever since the Zone days, ever since ESPN days. Let's go.
All right. We got a Wakandan tax collector. With a super chat saying, shout out TBD from Cyprus.
Wow.
Fury versus Wilder 4, easy work.
Damn, he won another Fury.
And then we got Lights Out Homie with the 99. Ring that fucking alarm, Ness. 99. Super chat saying, shout out TBD and my Bay Area partner, Abe.
Man. My name is Floyd. My name is Money Mayweather.
Shout out to you and shout out to Abe for bringing a new listener. Homie, I hope you subscribe. We do appreciate the super chat, but your subscription is just as appreciated. We got Mr. PBC with the $1.99. He says, Mr. PBC, caller of the month. If you really want to know who's caller of the month, you got to go ahead and vote on our poll. We're going to be closing that out pretty soon and giving out awards to the actual winners. Looks like we got some more callers on Discord.
Yes.
We got a 9:15 meeting, so we're going into drive-by. JP, what up? No intros. It's drive-by. Go.
Yo, I'm there.
Yup. Yo, yo.
Right. You see Wilder coming back, obviously. The division leads him. Should be celebrated. American hero, first heavyweight American champion, the 15-year span, a 15-year gap until Wilder brought it back, I believe. Triple G, I'm happy for it, man, to be honest with you. He's a official old head, 40 years old. Going there, he'd be kicking ass, man. He'd be beating people up. And he has never gave us a bad showing. I feel like, you know, it'd be a good fight regardless. So that's my call, brother.
All right. Who next?
LV Slugger, what up?
No intros. We on drive-by. Let's go.
TVV, y'all hear me?
We yes, do. Sir. Loud and clear.
Like Info would say, man, shout out to the boxing god. You know, a great run of boxing coming up. Tank Rowley this weekend. Looking forward to that. Haney Combosa's in the same division next weekend, undisputed. And, you know, my man, you know, the biggest news is right now, you know what I'm saying, the living legend, like I've been saying. But the statue definitely solidifies that. You know, he definitely talking about coming back. And I think him getting his flowers while he here has a lot to do with that. You know what I'm saying? It's not confirmed. It's not confirmed yet, but I do expect him to, you know, come on back. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And if you ain't 6'9" and not weighing 50 pounds, you ain't fucking well. But yeah, that's my call.
CYP, what up?
Hello, muchachos.
Buenos dias,
Carlos.
Okay. Listen. First, we're going to give all due and respect to Deontay Wilder. We've had 53-plus undisputed champions. In America, we do not have 53 statues. We've had over 100 undisputed champions. And worldwide, there are not 100 statues of boxers. Form of respect you could possibly get as a person in the world, athlete or not. Put some respect on that statue. Secondly, Mr. PBC, if you want to be prediction of the month, cool. You cannot beat me for caller of the month, and nobody can. I reign supreme. Everybody knows that. People actually call in to hear me argue with Ness. They don't call in to hear you talk about Bivel. They don't
Bivel,
hear J-Mac call. They don't call to hear J-Mac argue with Ness about some dumb shit and get clowned. They call to see CYP go with Ness. I am caller of the month. Deal with it. CYP out.
He is in the lead, so he's not lying. More people have voted for him.
So. We got Supermax with a $10 super chat. Saying we waited 6 to 7 years for Maypac 1, time since 2015, Nello Triple G has happened going on 3 times, and that first fight was bigger than anything currently, and that's the difference, like him or not.
Nello will deliver.
Excuse me.
Saludo. Saludo, homie.
Man, what's going on in the studio,
man? You got the
door
closed. You better open it. Get the open door, man. You got to get those germs out of here. We coughing, we sneezing, it's going down.
But Ness, let them know where to follow you, bro.
You can follow me on Nesta Gibbs. On YouTube, Nesta Gibbs. On TikTok, but also Ness GTO, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can catch me on another one. Tomorrow morning.
No, tonight, motherfucker. It's flagship.
I don't know. It all depends how good this phone call goes. We about to link up with an alcohol company. If they give us the bag, man, we ain't doing fucking 7 shows a week.
Nah, Ness.
I'm lying.
Hold on. You doing it regardless.
Hulk, really quick. Drive by. What up?
I'm lying. But we is about to have a conversation with some alcohol, you know. And you know I'm a vodka guy, so I found this a vodka company.
Vodka.
Are you Russian?
Hulk.
Cold,
that
ice said, cold vodka.
We about to be out. Ringwald Danny, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
Peace.
Damn.
Oh, what up?
Hulk.
We hear you.
Yo, y'all got me?
Yeah.
Yes.
No man left behind. What up? Damn, you fucking up.
We ain't got you. You are in the last.
All right, we out. 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern for tonight's
another
flagship
one.
Show.
Another one.
Mr. PBC, goddammit. Counterpunchy champ, PBC Bibble, baby.
Let's go. You going to make your predictions. Today is our preview and show.
Yo.
What it do?
What up?
Hey, the most highly anticipated. I'm like an album that's about to be dropped, like Jay-Z. I heard someone calling saying I ain't winning this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, unless you making fake Patreons, that's the only
it's
way
actually on YouTube, so it's nothing fake. Anybody can vote.
Yeah. Well, shout out to the cheaters, but you can't cheat me. I'm the realest nigga out, most respected. Shout out to TBV. And if you want to hear me call in.
Oh, shit. So far, you are winning caller of the month, bro.
Thank you, baby.
You're 56%. Holy
numbers,
shit.
Numbers.
TYP's
not even in there. They didn't vote
because
for CYP.
Because they like me, because I don't argue with you, unless I tell you the truth. And the truth
but,
is
But
argue,
CYP
really.
Is 50% for counterpuncher of the month.
Well, who gives a fuck? At the end of the day, PBC, baby. TBV, baby. And there ain't no Mr. The Zone no more. It's Mr. PBC.
Mm. All right.
We got Wakandan Tax Collector with another super chat saying, Charlo be 42-year-old Bunridge, but can he be 42-year-old Triple G? Fire.
I mean, it's a bad question because it's like if he does fight him, they're like, oh, he's fighting 42-year-old Triple G. Is that J-Mac? No intros. Drive by. Let's go.
Here we go.
Oh, can y'all hear me?
Yes, perfect. Sir.
Hey, good morning to everybody. Shout out to all my fans. Shout out to the niggas that love saying my name, and I don't give a shit about no voting or what I'm being voted on. Some people need some type of trophies in life. They need that self-gratification. So winning a contest, it requires you to spend money so you can argue and talk stupid shit all day. Go right ahead. My name not voted on that list because I kind of punch when the fuck I won't kind of punch. Hey, shout out to the people seem to always bring somebody's name up to validate themselves or put themselves on a higher pedestal. Some people really struggle in life and they got mental issues to where that's what they need for self-gratification. So I hope the man win the award, and I hope he get everything he can get of it, hang it up in his trophy case, whatever. I don't give a fuck. That's my call.
4 p.m. Right. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, tonight's flagship show.
We out.
Nez GTO, Instagram, Twitter, Nestor Gibbs, TikTok, YouTube. Make sure to check out his newest episode, Cut It, new project, my boy working on, Ringwalk Danny, the boxing voice on all that good shit. New York Bullet, I see you. Yo, Danny, New York got some smoke shops now with some fire.
Uh-oh,
pull up
CYP
on me, CYP
with a
counterpunch, goddamn.
Put your headphones back on. You ain't going nowhere.
That's what's great about this show. CYP.
Let's be real here. Everybody in this call listening knows that nigga cares. He cares. He cares so much that when he first got his voice, he was texting me, telling me, hey, man, what should I say to this? You think if I said this right, you think, should you help me put this together? This is a fact on my dead relative's life. When I started CYP Army, you know who was a member of that army? J-Mac. J-Mac, cut it out. You always wanted to take my place. When I left from hiatus, you came in to take my place. And I came back for 2 months, and they still voted me caller of the year. They don't like you like they hate me. That's the problem. You tried to get them to hate you like they hate me, but you can't do it. So every time you call in, talking about, I don't care, everybody knows. You care. Ness knows. You care. You just can't do it like me. And PBC, be lucky my name's not on there. Because everybody know to have a counterpunch is when you become the caller. So if I'm the counterpuncher of the month, then I'm also the caller because you have to talk to be the caller.
It's a fact on my dead relative's life.
Damn.
That's what he said.
Why so serious? What up?
Uh-oh. Jonathan Sims.
You know, it's a beautiful day. Hey, Ness.
What up?
Thanks for a great show. A ring walk with Danny. Hey, man, you're growing on me, man. Keep it up. Hi, fanboy. Deontay Wilder, enthusiast, really, really happy that he's coming back. Danny, it'd be great if you could get down there in that camp, get a little interview or whatnot. I'm sure the numbers speak for themselves when Wilder is on the docket. Everybody calls in, so I think it's a great opportunity. And before I go, you know, a mother doesn't tell her children she's a good mother. They tell her. A father doesn't tell his children He's a great father, they tell him. A real nigga doesn't have to say he's a real nigga because people tell him that. So if you have to say you're one, newsflash, you're not a real one.
Mm. J-Mac, Boomerang.
Yo, can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep this light and simple. They got some weird people in this universe, and they love to sit up here and twist words up in conversation. I didn't recruit for no fucking army. This dude actually think he's important enough to be recruited for an army. He got on here. Me and him had similar personalities. We connected. We had similar stories, which we talked about on the back call. And somewhere in his weird mind, he think I want to be him. He think I want to be somebody that gets into it with everybody, somebody that's hated on here, somebody that comes on here and spends money that's been kicked off the show multiple times, somebody that can't show up or come up to any functions because nobody wants to be around him. You can save that. You can miss that bullshit. I'm only responding just to bring clarity. So when my name is called, that man got to kind of punch his heart out to get validation on who he is in life and what he think he is and how successful he is. Go right ahead, give the man an award. The brother needed. It's going to help him mentally proceed and get forward in his life. Shout out to him. Counterpuncher of the year or whatever the fuck y'all giving to him. Shout out to CYP. And remember, this boomerang was given to me. I ain't never paid for a boomerang. They're paying to counterpunch and talk about me. You brought my name up, so.
Mr. PBC.
Counterpunch.
With his $5 saying real recognize real counter. What up?
Yo, 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 man. I mean, people really out here stretching the realness out to get what they want. I'm just getting what I want because I'm just being me. Shout out to me. Shout out to PBC. Shout out to TPG. Shout out to Nestor Give. Shout out to Danny, the mechanic. Shout out to Bo, wherever you at. We're going to find you. And shout out to Canelo. Biv is going to find you, too. You know, you already know what it is. I ain't got to disrespect to get respect. That's my call.
Wakandan tax collector saying
$34.99. That's an interesting number. He said $34.99.
Well, that's because what country did they say?
Cyprus.
Cyprus. So that's the Cyprus currency. But he said, to help fix Wilder statue, paint's chipping. CYP counterpunch number two.
Listen, hey, for anybody who don't know, there was something called a triple ring. It was the first time anybody ever had a triple ring. That means he get boomerangs, he get crossed, he get all that. That was me. That wasn't you. I never paid for a boomerang. Man, you got your triple ring 2 years after I already had two of them. You follow me. You follow the leader. Everybody knows I'm a leader, man. The dudes on the back call know I school you. That's why you try to get me voted up out of there because you can't handle me intellectually. And if you ever want to see me in person, try to handle me physically. You know you cannot. You know that it bothers you if you can't intimidate me. J-Mac, I will whoop your ass intellectually and I will whoop your ass physically. And I mean that shit. So whenever you want to see me, we can do that. But on here, for talking, you taking a KO loss every time.
All right, that looks like it is everybody.
Victor Bagnolos, $4.99, Super Chat saying, Andy Ruiz better put some good work on Luis Ortiz because I need the Wilder versus Ruiz mega fight. Put it at crypto.com arena. He actually said Staples Center. But we out of here.
We're out.
Peace.
Peace.